The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I saw this story. I thought this was worth bringing up. An audit that was done recently for the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles in California. And a data operator there apparently slept 3 hours a day at her desk for 3 years.
3 hours a day for 3 years.
And the department failed to take disciplinary action.
All right. So was she satisfying her job requirement?
That I don't know.
You would assume that maybe there was not a lot of demand for what she did, because you think somebody would notice that she was asleep for 3 hours.
Four witnesses told investigators that the DMV employee consistently slept at her desk. The auditor estimated the employee misused 2,200 hours of work time between February 2014 and December 2017.
So maybe it was just like a lull in the day.
Like, but that's a hell of a lull, three hours. My guess is she also took a lunch, right? They're not saying that they haven't specified that she wasn't taking a lunch on top of that. That's 4 hours. That's half your day.
I mean, that's a third of your work day, easily.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think you should be sleeping for 3 hours at work. I don't think you should
Sleep for about two.
No, I don't think you should be sleeping at all at work. But I've been in a DMV where there's just nothing happening. Now, I don't know.
Well, the people working should have something happening.
I don't know what, I don't know what they're supposed to be doing if nobody's there waiting in line, but.
Yeah. Say on average, though, Preston?
The three hours every day.
That's on average, Kath. So that means okay. She was sleeping
less, some days more,
some
other days.
Some days 8 hours.
Some days the whole
Some days
shift,
she just slept in the parking lot and then started the car up and went home.
If they can figure this out, that it was on average, then somebody knew that she was sleeping, right?
Well, that's the thing. They're saying that the there were complaints from her colleagues and the department failed to take disciplinary action. So that's why the hubbub.
You'll see investigative reports like this all the time on the news. There was a guy, a local in the city, they nailed him. I think he showed up, punched in, went home for like 7 hours, came back and punched out, and full salary, full deal, benefits. And it wasn't like he was even doing a little. He was doing nothing.
And how long can you do? Like,
he did it for like a year and a half.
I know, but like at a certain point, you go, man, I can't do this anymore. I'm totally going to get caught. It was good while it lasted, but I'm going to get caught.
I think there's a brand of people out there that once they get into a groove, they're just like,
they're
just like, this is it. I figured it out, man.
I feel bad if I'm in the bathroom too long.
Yeah,
like I better get back to work.
I will take a nap right here. You guys have seen me do it. Absolutely. When the show is over.
After you've done your work.
When we're done with the day, and there may still be work left to do, but it's nothing that is time related.
No.
I will lay down on this love seat right over here, which is too small to really get good rest on.
No love can be made on
that. I will lay down. I'll set a little alarm for about 30 minutes, and I will pass the F out. But I've done my work for the day.
Right.
And we also work in, it's a little casual here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's just make excuses for one another. I think that's okay. But listen, I think technology has kind of ruined some things for some people. GPS tracking, you're not able to get away with what you used to be able to get away with. I know somebody I think this person still works for the post office. But back in the day, now he would get his job done. You know, he would deliver all the mail to all these people. And
not necessarily the right people, but he'd get it done.
No, they would get to. Yeah. But he would get it done in such a short amount of time that he would, during his work day, go play golf or go hang out with his buddies or whatever. And then, I know, Preston.
I love it.
You're like, wait a second.
But I guess he would speed up, but he would get his appointed rounds done.
Get your job done.
Then he would have time.
Then he would have time to go.
Sleet or snow. Or nine holes.
Go and then go punch out for at the end of the day.
We've talked about this and that we had a similar situation. My first job, actually my second job, my first real job, Dunkin' Donuts. The UPS drivers, about 10 of them, these trucks would park behind the Dunkin' Donuts so they would not be seen by supervisors. They would get all their deliveries done. all their deliveries done for the day and then just go hang there, have coffee for about 2 hours, mm-hmm. and just every day mm-hmm. is part of the deal.
Steve, I don't want you to speak out of turn, so I apologize yeah. in advance if this is something you don't want to bring up on air, but I think you were telling us a story about somebody in radio who would show up at work and sleep. And she would, like on air.
No,
like,
yes, this was a,
no, she had a substance problem.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And she passed out right. in the middle of an interview.
But to put it in perspective, Nick, it was a talk show.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, you could say, okay, it was spinning records in the overnight and he fell asleep during Inagata De Vita.
Right.
This is yeah. where you are talking. Yeah. You're taking calls and you fall asleep.
And she would just pass out, right?
Pass out.
All right.
I also know that in outside sales, and a lot of time it was like
pharmaceuticals.
What?
Growing industry of pharmaceuticals.
Casey, you have found your future. Pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceuticals.
What field are you in?
Pharmaceuticals. It's, see, the pharmaceuticals, it's usually hot women, but this is my expertise. Pharmaceuticals.
I'm just going to sit back and wait for this to be done.
No, you go ahead.
Let me know. All right, so pharmaceutical sales and medical sales. I know that you have to get, like, 10 calls in a day or something
yes,
like that.
Yeah.
So you have your quota that you need to reach every day, and people would... It's all in the planning, right? They're like, okay, listen, I can go to this one area, bang out 10 sales calls in about 3 hours, and then I'm done at like noon.
See, which
and
which
you can't do that anymore because of GPS tracking and,
sure.
and all that stuff.
But what you assume is, you know, like in those cases, you'd be motivated. You want to do, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yeah. you can plan out your day. If you're planning your entire day around how much downtime you can schedule... That's kind of weird.
If you're hitting your goals, your quotas, and all that stuff, then...
If you are.
Yeah.
I try to, when I come in here in the morning and we're doing prep work before the show, is if I've gotten everything that I need to get done for the day, and I have, say, 10 minutes or so before the show starts, I start working on tomorrow's stuff.
Sure.
Like, immediately. And then, even during the show, when we go into commercial breaks or playing music, I'll start, I'm pulling up Bizarre Files for the next day. And I that way, later on today... I can do nothing if I want to, which is wonderful.
You get it covered.
Yeah, but apparently this person felt that three-hour naps at work were a good idea. There's also another one from this same department. Two Fresno State University operations employees engaged in egregious and continued time and attendance abuse by taking extended breaks over a four-year period, and they alleged to have wasted 5,100 hours and cost the state about $111,000 in calories.
So, when
so
you,
extended breaks
when
as
you
well.
Do that, are you... is there legal recourse that they take against you, or are you just simply fired?
You're fired.
I don't know. It depends, because are you working for the DMV? Is that for the state
For the
government?
State, yes. But in other words, is that fraud? Or is
it's
it,
not
is
fraud.
It,
listen,
it's simply just a fireable offense.
If he or she is there at work, then that's yeah. fine. Now, yeah. if that person is not showing up and doing something like what you talked
the
about
the guy
earlier,
who just punched in and
punched
left.
Punched in and left, yeah. then that's fraud. Like, if you're defrauding yeah. people of work.
Who's the guy who is that was actually taking truckloads of... meat and stuff and reselling it. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You had that story. It was yeah. like $1 million worth of yeah. hot dogs or something.
Yep, I do remember that.
I just don't think that. You almost want to get inside the mind of someone who,
yeah.
hey, I know what I'll do.
Yeah. There are people out there that are just motivated to get their job done so that they can just chill. I had a friend of mine who was, he hated mowing the lawn. Now, there's one...
Because he was a surgeon.
Well, no, there's one of two things you can do. You can either put it off and just, you know, fight it, but... Or
yeah,
you can
just
do what
get
he
it
did.
Done.
And he would run.
Over.
He would literally run mowing the lawn so he could get it done yeah. that much faster.
Wow.
I don't mind that.
Uh-huh.
By the way, speaking of overworked and all that stuff, Kathy sent me this study the other day that noted that people over 40 should only work 3 days a week.
What?
The only good thing about turning 40.
Because yeah. you're... What's the perception? Because you're not long for this world?
No, it said that it's based on your own work/life balance. And there's a full detailing study that basically your work performance is better if you're only doing three days a week.
Wow.
You're getting too old to work.
You're getting too
That's
old to 40. Work.
A bunch of nonsense.
Rest, 40. Relax.
3 days a week when you turn 40?
To get to get basically the optimum work performance.
No, you're sleeping at work to begin with.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're getting
a good 3 hours at work.
But maybe you wouldn't sleep at work if you only work 3 days a week.
If you guys didn't have this.
But you're not getting paid if you're home.
That's true. Would you ever, take this job and put it aside, would you ever take a job where you would work a 12-hour shifts in a week or something like that?
I don't know, man.
The cops do the
12-on-12 off thing.
I have a friend who's a doctor who does it.
Seem, yeah, less taxing. You know, you only work 3 days a week, but you're working pretty long.
Imagine if we shifted to, a police schedule where we did back-to-back 3-day 12-hour shows.
Oh, God.
And Pierre would love that.
Be crazy exhausted from that. I'm going to go to a few calls, people who have beat the system. I'm going to go to Joe. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, Megachurch.
Megachurch.
Megachurch, yes. Close. What's up, Joe?
So I used to be a sales rep for Coca-Cola, and up in Boston, I was in the South Boston area, so I had the beach territory on my route. Mm-hmm. And so my route, I had a lot of accounts, but I would get up and knock them all out, and then I didn't have other accounts until, a lot of them were bars. So I would finish all my calls that I could by, noon, and then I would just bring my computer and, sit on the beach because everything I could do was remotely, and I would just, hang out on the beach. I would either pop the back of my car up and just, take a nap for a couple minutes and just hang out until around 3:30 or whatever, and then I would start going to all the bars that I could call on. Mm-hmm. And just go to Harpoon Brewery and stuff, and just relax.
So you had satisfied your work requirement for the day, correct?
Oh yeah, for sure. I hit all my numbers. I was the highest. I had the highest numbers for the year too. So I was
there you go.
That's what I mean.
If
you're getting your job done, it's just a perk that you happen to work near the beach and you can sit on the beach with a computer. I don't think that's
exactly.
It's like a fisherman, right? They're always by the water.
Well, that's why I can go home and I can do all my work from home, which is a great luxury to have. It's a great. I mean, we do our show. But the work for the following day, I can go home and get that done.
Or
it's
you can
fantastic.
Do your other job. You go out to the parking lot and sell opioids. That's what I do.
Steve, speaking of sleeping at work, and you and I love the movie Used Cars.
Oh, my God, I love it.
The mechanic, I think his name was Jim, there's two scenes. One where he's passed out, and he's got an acetylene torch in his hand, and it's on.
It's lit.
And he's just walking away. And then there's another one, Steve, where he's got the painter.
Yeah.
It's just spraying paint.
He's in the middle of it, completely
snoring, passed out.
That's a great movie.
God, it's a great movie. I'm going to go to our sales manager. Jim Antez is on the phone line. Hey, Jim.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. You wanted to share a story. Listen, by the way, before you do this, radio sales is a great job for you to sneak away for a little while. I knew people that would just go home and hang out for hours, and they wouldn't go on their sales call.
Wow.
Somebody got busted because I lived in a small town when one of my first radio jobs, so the area wasn't very big, and they drive by this guy's house, and sure enough, his car would be right out front.
Yeah.
Not our sales guy.
No, of course not.
No, they go to the movies.
Well, they're go-getters.
Well, that's a perfect entree, because so one day we go over across the street to eat, and I had to run PNC Bank to grab some money. It's when Mario was working here. So we walk out of PNC Bank, and I said to Mario, I go, there's Scarrato's car. I said, let's go over and leave a note on it or something like that and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
So we roll up to the car, and the seat is back, and he's out cold. And I'm like, Mario, he's in the car. So I start snapping pictures of him.
Perfect.
And I come back to the office, and I put him on the printer, and I print him, and I put him up at his desk, and I go, we're always watching you.
I don't care. I don't think it doesn't matter.
Scrotto.
Yeah, I like to take a nap.
Oh, my God.
It's usually when I fart.
Yeah, Scrotto was hilarious.
What you should have done, that's great. Imagine if you had let the air out of all the tires. He woke up and all the tires were flat. So, but in the bit, Jim, so in the case we just heard of the guy, he gets all his, he hits all his numbers. He's doing really well. If somebody goes away and takes a break during the day and they're meeting their goals, you as a manager, are you cool with that? Or is it always go, 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 go?
Listen, Listen, if, here's the deal. We run our own business. I'm a firm believer. If you are getting your job done, you're hitting your numbers, then if you got to take a little break, you take a little break. I mean, yeah. There's people at work. There's people that work till 10, 11 o'clock at night sometimes at home. So, you know, but it's all, again, it's all about hitting your numbers. I'll probably get crushed for saying that, but the bottom line is, if you're getting your job done, things are happening, you're entitled to a little bit of
Well, rent. And that may be the methodology you employ to be effective. You may, as a worker, you may, perhaps everyone's different. Perhaps they produce best when they get pauses through the day to recharge or whatever it is.
So when I was a lifeguard, I looked at the pool. I'm like, everybody
is at the bottom.
Is it, no. Everybody is alive. Well, now my joke doesn't work, but anyway.
Sorry, man. Hi, Jimmy. We'll see you, man. Take it easy, buddy.
Yeah, I think most people that I know, most of my peers, once they find a career and a job path that they like, they all work hard. It just depends. Going to the office doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to work harder by being in the office. You know what I mean? Like, they can be out and do stuff wherever they are, and they're motivated to do their job. They're motivated by their career, and they're motivated by their employer. And I think more and more bosses understand that they're going to give their employees freedom to do what they want, where they want, as long as they get the work done.
Yeah, but then there are those people that have to be there to, you know, they're absolutely required to be there where they can get their job done. And this DMV person was falling under that umbrella, but they found a way to sleep at their desk three hours a day.
And how do you not, how does a supervisor not see that eventually?
Well, and that's the issue. They were, people reported this person regularly and they never got reprimanded for it.
My cousin is a teacher and one of the, you know, like assistants that are in the classroom, she said for years he would fall asleep every single day at the desk with the kids in the classroom. And she said the one day she asked him, she said, do you drink coffee? And he said, no. She goes, I think you should start.
There was, in the movie Election Matthew Broderick, the pop quiz was the ultimate friend of the teacher. Pop quiz, everybody. And then he could leave and take off. So everybody's got their little shortcuts, their little way, or not everybody, but some people do. I'm going to go to, let me go to Joe. Hi, Joe, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, my man, what's up?
So my late teens, early 20s, I used to manage an AutoZone, smaller one, no commercial, you know. So I used to, you know, come in hungover or something and usually have a worker with me in the morning open up. I'd open up, get everything set, tell them, here's my numbers if you need to override a sales or something like that. Use that, and I go sleep in the back for a couple of hours.
You'd go sleep in the back. Would you you'd sleep in the warehouse or would you sleep in your car?
It's not right in the back, right down one of the aisles, you know, the parts aisle.
Yeah.
Right in the back.
Why not?
I've told you guys before, this pizza joint I worked at, after a couple of months, everybody realized the pizza sucked and the service was bad and nobody showed up. People quit ordering. So we had hours of nothing to do.
Is this where you do the balls
dough
of dough?
Baseball. Yeah. and there was a prep counter, and it had a shelf on the bottom, and it was big, and I would crawl under there and lay down and sleep. I'd grab my coat or a T-shirt and make a pillow out of it, and I would pass out underneath. Well, you remember, I go underneath the
you like
console.
Like
I like to get underneath stuff.
Cubbies, yeah.
Like
Costanza, putting a bed in the desk. Man,
one of the best episodes. You mentioned a pillow at Dunkin' Donuts. We had the overnight, the baker, you know, they're baking around the clock.
Yeah,
this guy was sort of a screw up. They come in the next morning, the manager, and there is bedding on top of the bags of the different, you know, doughs and stuff, the powder that they use to make all the stuff. And so that sort of tipped the hand that he might have not have been as productive as he needed to be.
I'm going to go next to Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
I keep calling and I always get on. It's like the eighth or ninth time. Anyway.
Nice.
I worked at Oxford Valley Mall, and we had a hard-working UPS worker. This guy would come in. He would be there before the gate opened. I'd sign for the packages, and he would run through the mall. And then one day he was gone, like after a year. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then time goes by, and I run into another UPS driver at another job. And I'm like, yeah, I knew this guy, Joe. He worked at the mall. And he was done by, like, 10, 11 o'clock, I swear. And he's like, oh, yeah, Joe. Yeah, they fired him. I'm like, oh, why?
He's like, well, there's a reason he was doing that and getting done so early. He was sleeping with a girl, Victoria's Secret. He got caught in the bathroom.
Oh,
that's a different kind of sleep.
Yeah, he was sleeping with a girl, Victoria's Secret.
Mm.
Well, there you go.
I got it confirmed by two different drivers. So.
I guess they weren't as hot over it. Things remembered.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, nice. Thanks, Chris. Well, I mean, that's a case of somebody speeding up their job performance so that they have some downtime to get into what they want to get into. And obviously, he wanted to get into the Victoria's Secret worker.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. To that point, though, when if you have that, whether you're in sales or something that allows you to go away or to be out on your own, or you're kind of autonomous at that point, that's where you can get away with this, obviously, the most. When you're in that job that you have a supervisor sitting at the end of your row of desks or whatever, it's and the job stinks. It's such an energy suck. It's 7 hours seems like 17 hours.
Oh, my God. And we've all had a version of it.
Worked
at jobs where you're literally, I'm having a hard time staying awake.
And you're counting. Well. You're looking at the clock. Well, the telemarketing, we talked about it earlier with the, right?
Yeah, that's exactly same thing. What I was going to say. I was a telemarketer because I broke my wrist. I couldn't be a lifeguard, and it was just, I mean, I drank a lot that summer, too, so it really
all worked out.
It ended up working out because my hours were like 5 to 10, so I could sleep the day away. But, you know, Steve, I would, because I was only doing surveys. I wasn't selling anything.
Oh, that's better.
I would let that phone ring until it would just go beep, 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 beep,
Casey.
Beep, beep, beep.
Casey. So I had brick face and aluminum siding. They would do that. And so the manager was sitting there constantly jumping in on the calls just to make sure you were calling people.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do that, you know?
By the way, Marissa just gave me a knowing smile through the glass here. We all remember the morning she fell asleep while we were on the air. That was hilarious.
Or every single live broadcast ever where Rodney's just sitting there like.
Yeah, but you know what?
Rodney's been there for 48 hours.
Yeah. He was there 2 days prior and didn't stop working.
And he'll get there at 2 a.m. to get everything set up.
Yeah. Matter. He's still sleeping there.
True.
But Marissa, we were all like, we're sitting here, we're talking like we are now, and all of a sudden we're like, is Marissa asleep over there?
We all got quiet,
and that's when she woke up.
Yeah. She thought it was dead air,
Marissa.
Because that was during the 2008 World Series. Yeah. When I thought that I could stay up all night, go to the games, go home, sleep, then go back to the game, stay up all night, come to work.
Turned out it was a little different, but that's the classic thing where you draw the pupils on your eyelids.
That's literally one of my favorite radio stories of all time.
It was awesome. It was excellent. Well, anyhow, there's a bit of an uproar within the California DMV. This person in particular, and they have a number of things that have happened as well. There was a high-ranking fire chief that had two state employees build an addition to a state-owned house that he rented during their work hours, and it had plumbing and electrical and sewer, and he used the money from the state to do it.
So he's using taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm. He didn't get permission to do it. And so there's a full audit they did, but the one that stands out was this person sleeping for 3 hours a day, every day for, I think it was 3 years.
3 years.
3 years. But you know what? They did. A doctor had informed the DMV in 2016 that that she could not have performed the duties the job required because she had a medical condition that made it difficult for her to work on a regular schedule.
She was lazy.
So I don't know if that was legitimate or not, but they reassigned her to another position in January.
She gets the road test
of last year, but she continued to sleep at work. Part of it is just having a job that is interesting enough to keep you awake. You know,
it truly is to be engaged. Yeah. And my heart goes out to you if you're at a job where that is one of those just energy sucks. But hang in there.
Yep.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I saw this kind of cute story I thought I'd pass along to you guys. This was a guy named Carlos Zatina.
Know him well.
He met a girl named Nicole at a campus bar, and he only knew a few things about her.
Okay.
He knew the fact that she was from Holland and attended the University of Calgary. Holland. She ended up giving him the wrong number.
Oh.
But he refused to let that stop him from getting to know her. So Carlos decided to go through the University of Calgary's entire email list, and he sent a message to 246 girls named Nicole.
Wow. So this is this rom-com sweet or Silence of the Lambs chilling?
Depends.
Yeah, I think it's more chilling than anything.
Nah, you have to know the guy.
I don't. I think it's
rom-com sweet.
I think it's rom-com sweet. It sounds really loud. No, it sounds like something I would have done in my 20s, probably.
Okay, so he...
If I felt the connection, if it felt real, you know what I mean?
Okay, I would assume that she had employed the age-old tactic of giving the wrong number or a one digit off or the wrong address, and I would have figured that would have been the sort of passive sign that she was not interested.
To nicely say, no, thank you. I used to do that all the time. I used to give my girlfriend's phone number, and she would get calls. She'd call me.
They'd be the one that got molested.
No, but she would call me all the time. She'd be like, stop giving guys my number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Didn't you make up a number? Why'd you give him?
Because it was more fun that way. Right, it was funnier for her to get a call from some random dude.
There's a man in my living room. Well, all she had to do...
All she had to do was
give them your number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what she should have done.
She should have.
Yeah. You know who it was? Just like Ronnie saying.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. That's perfect. All right. So this guy sent an email to 246 girls named Nicole.
How did he get access to all that information?
He sent the emails to students, staff, and faculty members. I'm not sure how he accessed all the emails, Steve. Although...
Maybe he just typed in Nicole. Like, if you do that here at work, you know, it'll autofill in... you know, if you type in Preston, it'll get, you know, Preston Elliott or Preston at WMMR.com.
You'd have to keep changing it, though, right?
You need access to the to our database, but I guess somehow or another.
He did it.
But anyhow, it turned out that he didn't reach the Nicole he was looking for, but it actually united the Nicoles at the university, and most of them have now become friends. So they made a Facebook group called Hashtag Nicole's from Last Night.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great?
That is
great.
So just from him reaching out to all of these girls, it got them in touch with each other.
So no sign of the original Nicole.
No, she has the real Nicole has surfaced.
Oh. I love you, Preston, because I thought this story was going in one direction, and it totally went in a different direction.
I did this for
you. Yes, thank you.
Someone added her to the Facebook group. And apparently she hadn't memorized her Canadian number.
Sure.
And since she was an exchange student, she didn't have a university email address. So somehow or another they tracked her down. Now, what I don't understand is if they have met.
They got together,
If they, or if they've contacted each other.
I'd be curious to find out. Because would Kathy, if a guy were to go to this length after an encounter and say it was an accident, you know, that you'd given him your Canadian number or whatever, what would be your take on that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Would you be flattered or would you be a little creeped out?
It would depend on the guy.
Right.
I mean, if I had no interest, then I'd be like, okay, that's a little creepy. But if it was somebody who, was honestly a mistake and she did want to give her number, it's cute.
It's all critical.
Here, this text says, no girl wants to truly admit it, but if he was attractive, it's sweet. And if he was not attractive, it's creepy.
Well, all right, just like Kathy. Like a Kathy.
I'm saying if you liked him or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but they're saying on a level of attractiveness. So, I don't know. I thought that was kind of, I would have done something stupid like that.
What is the greatest length you've gone to find a woman or to win a woman over in your pursuit of her?
Well, you had to win Rochelle over.
Yeah, I had to win Rochelle over. That took a couple of years.
She refused you how many times?
I only asked her out once, but I saw her several times.
I'm from Canada.
Over the course of a couple of years, and then after she had told me that she wasn't interested, I finally, a couple of years later, I got the balls. I'm like, I'm going for it. Like, bartender.
Yeah.
Give me some balls.
Give me a shot.
You got balls.
Give me this cup of the fill this glass with balls.
But I remember going over and like, you know, doing a drink real slamming a drink, and then, damn it, I'm doing it.
What do you think worked that time?
I gave her my phone number. What's that?
So what do you think worked that time you gave her number? Because there are many guys listening.
My swagger.
Your confident swagger?
Yeah.
No, the way your mullet caught the breeze?
She just happened to be drinking that night.
Yeah. She was lit up as well.
So that was in person?
Yeah.
That time? Okay. Because the phone call and then subsequent rejection is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But a text and not getting a text back is not nearly as bad.
No, you're right.
And so that's something that's happened over the last 10 to 15 years, which makes rejection a lot more palatable.
So
that is true.
Here's a creepy thing that I did. All right, so I had met this group of girls. I had just graduated from high school, met these group of girls, Catholic school girls, by the way, yeah, Casey. Yeah. I was a public school guy.
Elementary Catholic school. And, so they were at a Bible study or something like that?
And, if you want to call drinking beer and whiskey Bible study.
Bible study.
The party, Mike Mosier's house. Anyhow, and I was like, I found out, I met them, befriended them. I had been by their houses, so I knew where they lived.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So one day I went and I left roses at each one of their houses.
Wow.
And I was just basically
fishing for all of them.
Casting a wide net to see who would respond most favorably.
Are you joking, or was each rose actually attached to a fishing line with you sitting?
No, it wasn't a fishing line.
And
I ended up dating one of the girls.
Yeah.
Is that right?
How many responded? Just the one? Or
just the one who responded favorably.
So we had years ago, you remember the guy?
The others thought it was sweet.
It is sweet. Yeah. Is there any place now in the world we live in, you know, for that kind of old style,
I don't know,
romanticism, those kind of antics, but that approach where you're trying to just sort of like you know, Kathy, in this day and age,
that's what I mean. Right, this day and age,
spelling a name out in roses, would that be, oh dear God?
I think so. Yeah, there's a little bit more of that now because you have to watch.
But
you know?
It really just depends on who you are, who she is, whether or not there's a connection. Because, you know, one person can leave, you know, your name in roses and that's creepy. And another person
in
can do
heads.
It. Because, listen, I just think of, like, my wife, before she dated me, she was, you know, had gone out on a couple of dates with a couple of other guys or whatever. And one guy in particular, after a date, sent her some flowers.
And how did she react?
And to her, that was a clear indication that this was not going to work out.
Interesting.
Yes. And you know, like, I could have done the same thing after the same amount of dates, but we had a connection right off of the bat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she knew ahead of time, as the story goes, if I recall properly, her friends and she, they were listeners to the show on Y100, you know.
Had an idea of who you were.
And they had actually said they thought you and she would be a good fit.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, her roommate,
she's
Colin,
sort of been
like,
primed already.
You know who would be good for you? Is that Casey boy on the Preston, Maryland, and Steve show.
But I'm curious about your question. Does the in-person stuff, do you even do that anymore?
I'm suspect. I don't think you can.
There's a different approach now. Yeah. And intern Jasmine, who is looking at me kind of glassy-eyed right now, coming here. One of our calendar girls, by the way, did something a little bit reaching out and kind of interesting. I was handed a note. And this is kind of, instead of doing the in-person deal, you go about this. Jasmine, how you doing, by the way?
Good, how are you?
Good. So what did you do one time?
So I was scrolling down my Instagram feed, and I saw, like, a club, like, post, and it was, like, something funny that this guy, like, he's a comedian, like, posted.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God, this guy is so cute. Yeah. So I saw, like, you have, like, regular posts. It'll say, like, email. So I originally called and said, like, email and call. So I called, and I was like, hey, you guys just posted something with, like, this really cute boy. Like, do you know his @? Like, on Instagram? Because, like, I wanted to DM him. They're like, no. So I screen recorded it, put it on my story, and I was like, somebody please find me his @. I was like, I will Venmo you money. Like, so someone ended up...
reward.
Yeah.
So I ended up paying somebody $20 for finding my future husband. And then I had to wait. He had like 25K. So I was like, oh, he's not going to answer my DMs.
So 25,000.
Patiently for like a whole month until like I was like worthy enough to like slide into his DMs. And then when I did, he finally answered.
Going on here.
It sounds like you're landing a shuttle.
I know.
So, but just to clarify, 25,000 followers he had, so you figured you'd get lost in the sauce.
Yeah. Okay. He wouldn't even look at
it. All right. So take us through. Did you finally get to converse with him or talk with him?
Yeah, I did, but it didn't really last that long, so I was like, all that for nothing, $20 out of my pocket.
Wait, did you guys date at all?
No.
He wasn't interested in you?
Yeah, I mean,
Oh my God!
We were, like, talking about, like, school, and, like, I explained my story, like, that's probably where I went wrong. I seemed crazy, because I was like, oh my God, you're answering? And then I told him that I paid somebody $20. Chances.
Did you guys ever meet in person?
No, he lives like in Chicago. So,
By the way, it turns out later on, it was Louis Anderson.
You say talking, was that just over text?
No, it was not. I didn't even get his number. Like literally, we stayed on DMs. Yeah.
And did did you ever send him your Instagram?
No, he follows me now and he likes my pictures. He told me he's coming to Jersey. Like,
of course
soon.
He did.
So he said when he comes, like we can meet up, but like. I was like, you're not really good at answering DMs, so, like, here's my number. You can use this. And then he kind of just left me on red, and I was like,
So no texting, even though he has your number.
Oh, no.
How long ago was this?
Okay, like, maybe a week ago.
Oh, my God. It's still just going on.
I guarantee you that will change once he gets into town.
Yeah.
He knows you work here. He thinks he's playing.
I'm in love. Yeah. Like, I'm already planning our wedding.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We need to see this guy.
Can you do me a favor and, like, pull up his Instagram?
Yeah, let's see his picture.
In the studio here, because I got to see.
Let's see who's worth having you stalk them.
Yeah, Jasmine's going to the other room to do that. But
she's so cute, huh?
Yeah.
It's a different world.
It is.
But you don't hear that kind of commitment. Now, again, though. As a guy, and I would, if I were, you know, I'd be flattered that someone was going to those lengths. I would, it's quite possible that the guy has a girlfriend or whatever, or had a girlfriend.
You want to hear a funny dating story, or dating app story? I should. Somebody told me this morning that I saw at a convenience store that they saw me on. What are some of the dating sites? Is Bumble a dating site?
Yeah.
So they saw a picture of me with somebody else.
Presbo.
On their, like, their profile picture.
Oh, no kidding.
Is a picture of me with them that I guess I met at an event. And I'm like, that's not really going to help you get a date, I don't think.
It might. You know,
but I was told about that.
So here's the guy. It's Trey Cezanne.
Okay.
Well, we're putting this out there?
it's his Instagram name.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not a private account.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's an all-right-looking guy, I guess. I don't know.
Let's slide into his DMs and send him some Venmo and see if he responds.
Yeah, see if he DMs back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cute.
All right. Is he that worthy, Kath?
I don't know.
For her.
All right.
Jasmine?
Are you in love?
No, I am. He's just like, I don't know, Hispanic. The way he speaks Spanish, just like.
Really?
Yeah, like, if you watch one of his videos, he's funny, he's muscular. I like that urban, like, those braids, like.
So would you liken his stand-up comedy to, like, you know.
Oh, he's a comedian? I missed that
part.
Yeah,
like, he posts, like,
funny Robert Klein, I assume, or, no, who's he like? What comedian would you like him to?
He's not a stand-up. I don't think he does stand-up.
No, not stand-up.
Oh, he's just funny naturally. Funny, yeah. Okay.
Like, he talks about, like, life things and, like, is just funny.
Talks,
like,
about life things.
Yeah, oh, man. Okay. He's very,
like,
deep.
Like, the video that I saw, he was talking about, like, bottle-serving girls.
Yeah.
And he was like, if a guy walked past me in the club and, like, bumped into me, like, I would turn around and want to fight. But these bottle girls would, like, shove you and, like, already be past you with, like, the bottle, like,
right.
And he's like, and you can't do anything because, like, they're doing their job.
What he's saying is you can't beat up a bottle girl.
Yeah.
And that's much to his chagrin, but you could beat up a guy who happened to bump into you accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
I think you guys are going to make a great You know, save some of that Venmo money for bail.
Right.
How old are you?
Get a restraining order.
Yeah. Jasmine, how old are you?
21.
You're 21. Okay.
Well, this is the time to do this. It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
I'd be dating this guy probably if it was
maybe
years ago.
Hopefully this is me, like, my second shot at it.
Send him this
clip. I'm going to put this on my Instagram so you can see it again.
Sure.
Let us know if he texts you.
All right, I will.
I think you have multiple shots. And if he does come into town, you know, well maybe we'll see how this is going on air.
All right.
You know?
Right,
we'll extort
him. Come in with me. We'll sit down and, like, talk about it.
We'll have Steven Singer here ready with an engagement ring.
I have another note from Marissa. It says, video intern Adrian drove to Canada to meet someone that she met on Instagram.
Oh my.
And apparently worked out for, and she's what? Another stunner.
Yeah. What's going on here?
Got some stalker intern.
Crazy. Yeah. It's all coming from the female side, though.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. I saw her on Instagram, somebody's story, and I was like, okay. Most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my
okay,
life.
Okay, so you're going for the girl. Okay,
yeah,
go
luckily,
ahead.
Luckily, she was tagged. So I went to her her Instagram, and I right away, no fear, just messaged her. And I was like, hi, you're really cute. Like, you know, whatever.
Right out of the blue.
Right out of the blue. And I said, wait a minute. It says Vancouver in your bio.
Oh, that's like not even, that's not close
no,
Canada.
No, no.
That's really West far Coast away. Canada.
That's no, really was, far away Canada.
I was in L.A. at the time.
Oh, all right.
So it was close all Canada. All right. I was like, all right.
Still not that close.
Well, yeah. She was beautiful.
Listen, we've all done it for a girl.
Anyway, a friend and I, over Thanksgiving break, were driving up to Seattle, and I was like, hey, what's 100 more miles?
Yeah.
You know, so we drove and met her and spent a couple of days with her, and it was amazing. And it didn't work out romantically because she was in a relationship, but yeah, really good friends.
So is that like you to do something like that, or was that completely anomalous?
It is, all my friends, every week I'm chasing someone in the subway.
Really? So if you're an attractive woman, just get around you, and you never know what could happen.
It's got to be her type, though. Yeah.
And what's your type?
Yeah. Pretty unavailable is my type.
Unavailable is your type.
Yeah.
Well, have you met one, Kathy Romano? Oh,
do you want to give out your Instagram handle? You don't have to.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
People can't spell my name. It's fine, but it's Adrian D'Agostino. I don't know.
All right. She's working in our video department now with Nick Murphy and doing a wonderful job from what we can ascertain. And that's wild.
We'll tag these two girls on our Instagram or Twitter.
Watch
the
follows you get now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's usually me sliding into other people's DMs, so it'd be nice if someone hit me up for once, you know?
Okay, so it's sliding into the DMs.
Yeah, that's...
Let me ask you, what actress or what celebrity or notable personality do you find attractive? So we can sort of direct people.
Ooh.
You know? That's hard. No one particular type.
I mean,
exotic looking?
Yeah, kind of, it might seem... like pathetic to say, but sort of dark featured. Like
you want, sure. You basically want that's to be right. With yourself.
Yeah,
like a Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, someone who looks exactly like me. Okay. Maybe even a close name, maybe Adriana.
What did the Canadian girl look like?
Oh,
can you pull hers? You don't have to say her name, but pull her account up so we can see what she looks like.
Go do that real quick.
Yeah, go to the other room and they'll set you up.
In the other room.
How about this?
Can you have this hotbed of
the whole? Who knew?
You have the whole world,
Preston,
now to choose from.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
You were St. Louis. And that was it.
Yeah.
So
that was it.
Yeah. And then even like that, my neighborhood school was a commuter school, even at college. It was like, it was nothing.
So Rochelle, I met, you know, at a bar. I was a DJ. She was a tub girl. It was mm-hmm. a nightclub heaven, 1990s galore. And saw her. She didn't want to go out with me. Fine, whatever. I figured that's over with. And then over the next couple of years, oh, hey, there's that girl again. Oh, my God.
See?
We're at the same place.
I should go
talk to her. And that's the way it worked. You know what I mean? And then eventually I saw her again, and I'm like, damn it. I'm making the move.
We have the girl up here on the screen. This is the girl you drove to Vancouver for?
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I'll tell you, the first time, the video that I first saw her in, she was giving somebody the finger, and I'm like, that's the one.
Yeah, you like the attitude.
I would walk to Vancouver for her.
Yeah.
She's cute, man.
Well, it kind of didn't end up working out because she called me one day and told me she'd rather settle for a guy in the UK than
you.
Than me in the States. And
well,
I was like,
listen,
that's
we're
a little
going.
Harder.
Yeah, we're going to the UK in a month.
Yeah, you're going
to take care of this guy.
Yeah.
We're going to find out who the guy is.
So this probably wouldn't work out for me either. You know, like, I used to go to this bar every single Wednesday night. Not just because it was $5 to get in and 25-cent drinks for a few hours,
right.
but there was a girl there.
Right.
And I tried so hard.
What's your name?
Not a chance in hell.
You're a little fire plug, aren't you? I like you.
Fire plug.
You're a little fire plug.
You're a little love monkey, I think. I'm going to strap you on and play the hurdy-gurdy.
She was not interested, man. I offered to buy her 25-cent drinks many times, and she never
did.
Here's a dollar.
Have a dollar. That's four drinks.
this hulking woman standing over Casey, looking down to him.
It's so much easier to be rejected.
Come outside and watch me split wood with my hands.
When you're doing it in a virtual world, when you're doing it over Instagram, if you slide into somebody's DMs and they don't respond, who cares? Go on to the next one.
I wonder if it might be desensitizing people to what's the word I'm looking for? Might be desensitizing people to rejection.
Sure.
It clearly is a little bit more.
To
Nick's original point, there's a step, Preston, you've... Throughout our lives of dating, quite often we had to look at the person who was turning us down.
Crushing.
And it is a crushing defeat.
You're being rejected now by your phone. And that's a lot less hurtful and personal than literally the words coming out of somebody's mouth.
It's also allowing them to, you know, just go for it, to shoot higher. You know, you never know. Before, you never had any connection with, say, a celebrity or, you know.
Just go out to my gremlin and I'll give you a hand. It's made by AMC.
Sounds kind of appealing.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! Wow. Okay, well, I was not expecting this conversation to go in this direction, but very interesting from our interns, and they went for it, you know? And I always thought it was just desperate guys that did stuff like that, you know?
Not
attractive, affluent young women.
Seriously.
You know?
But it's interesting that the dynamic has become a little bit, you can private detective someone a bit before you go in for the encounter.
Yeah.
Sure. And that this, we had to operate, on... A friend, I heard she's like this, or I heard he's like that, or blah, blah, blah. And you a little bit of just sort of circumstantial evidence, whereas opposed to you can now jump into someone's timeline on Facebook or on Instagram and sort of see what they're about.
Yeah. Somebody texted and said, does DM equal Dungeon Master?
No.
Yes. I took that roller, and I have 7 runes.
You want to go home and play Dungeons and Dragons? You little fire plug. Look at you, then tweak your nose like a little tomato.
Love it.
I have $5. That's 20 drinks.
Do a lot of damage in the next 2 hours.
Wait, let me ask a DM question real quick. If you DM somebody on Instagram and they don't follow you, will they see it? Or
they
does
won't.
It,
will they?
They,
yes, they, will.
They have to accept it first.
Yeah.
Right.
So it does go in that. All right. Damn it. Because I DM'd somebody. I was actually trying to connect with somebody.
Trying to get a date?
Not a date.
Hi.
No, it's somebody from.
I wrote back to you.
I have over 35 cleaning fluids in my house.
Do you want to come over and clean?
All right.
There's a small wine stain on the carpet. Why don't you come over and see if you can rub it out?
No, I got that up right away. I didn't let that sit.
So who were you trying to get in touch with?
It's just somebody from my past who I was excited. I'm looking to find her mother, to reconnect with her mom.
And they haven't responded to you?
Older cougar.
I found the daughter on.
Hot.
Oh, wait. I'll show you the picture of the daughter.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. I used to be her babysitter. I watched them when they were 2 years old.
Keep going.
And and I found her because she has an odd name.
So hot. Take off my
bra. Stop. Come on. So
it's
annoying.
Okay. You're a little kid. You won't know.
I hate all of you.
Oh, you've grown up.
No, I have a question. So you sent them. How long ago did you send the message?
A couple days ago, maybe 5 days ago.
That's wild. So. And you just saw this adult person that you were...
Are they posting anything that you've seen since then? Because they may not just be going on their account.
Yeah, I know. But there was I don't know if I can... It doesn't say red or anything like that. So I don't think she saw it, but I'm hoping that she does.
I know a certain young lady in our video department that might be interested.
Oh, God, stop it. I just want to find her mom. That's
anyhow,
all.
Marissa will help you out with that.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. So, we'll find out if this guy ends up hooking up with the girl that he reached out to. He was very creative about it, and apparently there's many ways that you can do that now. So,
I just think perhaps the ways of yore might be a little too
dated or too much work.
Well,
or might
more
be
alarming
or scary. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's possible.
Or something that would be considered chivalrous and romantic might now be considered a bit too much. I hope that's not the case, but I suspect it is.
You never know.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR.
Now.
Everything that rocks.
Kath, you able to keep solid food down now?
Oh, not so much.
Really?
I had the worst weekend
I think I've had since I told Nick Murphy since I was 25.
Really?
I got food poisoning over the weekend.
Full on food, your
churn? Full on food poisoning. Like, I had it. I had food poisoning when I was in my 20s, and I think I may have had it, like, a minor version of it somewhere in between. Yeah. But this was the worst sickness in 24 hours that I think I have ever had in my life.
You said it was the sickest you'd ever been.
Oh, my God. I mean, and it came on. So I ate at about 6 o'clock. At 10:15, I was sitting downstairs on my couch. I had a glass of wine in my hand, and I was like, you know what?
I wonder what's on the TV.
Well, yeah, I was watching TV, and I'm like, I can't, my stomach is hurting. I can't drink this wine. Dumped the wine out, tried to continue to watch the TV, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. I don't know why I'm not feeling great. And went upstairs to bed by 10:30. I went upstairs at like 10:15. By 10:30, I was in the bathroom on the floor, head over the toilet.
What time had you eaten the thing that
made
you sick?
About 6 o'clock.
Always heard that it's within like an hour is when food poisoning kicks in. I don't know if that's true or not.
I've had it twice, and both I would rate them as the sickest I've ever been in my life. So in both those cases, Preston, the sickness did not come within an hour.
Okay.
It would have been a couple hours, but there was no question as to what the step-off point was, what caused it. Do you know?
That's exactly how I feel. And when I had it in my 20s, same thing happened. I remember I was working at NBC 10 at the time, and I ate a turkey sandwich, and it was same thing. It was a few hours later. By the time I got home, I was in the bathroom. But yeah, no, I know exactly what it was. It was the only thing that I had eaten that day that wasn't from my house.
Okay.
So I don't know what else it would have been but that. And
Was it meat?
Yeah, it was chicken.
Chicken. Chicken is the culprit. So chicken, for me, Kathy, the first time I had the profound food poisoning, Mystic, Connecticut. And you ever have one of those incidents where you're eating something and as you bite, you pull it away and you just sort of look at it and you go,
And that's what.
And I noticed that the chicken appeared pinkish.
Well, so
and it was and it, and I'm like,
so underdone.
It's already in. I've already swallowed some of it. And then, I mean, that was it. So that's what you had?
Well, no. So that was the thing. My mom said to me, did it taste weird? And I said, no. And I ate, so it came in, it was a wrap, and it came in two halves. And I ate one half, and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of still hungry, but I'll just save the second, you know, for tomorrow. I'll have leftovers. And thank God I didn't eat all of it, because I swear it would have been worse if I had all of it in my system. But no, it didn't. It tasted normal. It did not taste weird. And my question was, do you get sick from undercooked meat, or is it bad
contaminated
meat?
Yeah,
well, it's
the contamination and cooking it out. That's why when it looks raw, it hasn't been cooked out properly. So, and I kid you not, I got so sick that my intestines knotted up, and when they put me, you know me, I don't do anything. I'm not, you know, none of that. They gave me morphine. They gave me morphine to kill the pain.
I'm telling you, I felt like I needed morphine. Like, I contemplated going to the hospital. It was that bad.
Well, why didn't you go?
Because I knew what it was. Okay. I knew it was food poisoning. Right. I'm like, what are they? I don't know what they're actually going to do for me. Maybe hydrate me after the fact. But
there's a couple calls coming up that says they've got something for that. That can fix you up, yeah.
Well, so let me just tell you, though. Okay. I was in so much pain, my stomach, because there was nothing at some point there was nothing left in my stomach, but my body was still trying to get rid of whatever was in my system. Mm-hmm. So I was literally throwing up nothing. So it was so painful to have that
dry heaves. Are the worst. There's nothing left.
There's
nothing on here. Yeah. And as you're trying to expel, you feel almost your internal organs starting to detach.
That's kind of, and it was. Everything was knotted up, and I was taking little sips of water.
That makes it worse.
No, but so that I would have something to throw up. Because it was hurting so bad when nothing was there to come up. But it was like, Steve, how you explained, it was that screaming, like initially projectile vomit, where it was like flying out of my mouth like a movie. And then it turned
into... I don't mean to laugh, but I've been there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, it was... I cannot explain to you how awful it was.
All you know is that you're so sick that you would pay to watch a movie of just to marvel at how far you can projectile vomit. And I remember, to me, on the second time, which was a pork lo mein, it was the
coolness of the tiles in the bathroom that allowed me to sleep.
Well, see, I had like I was getting the shivers. I got a little bit of a fever and I was getting the chills and then I was sweating. So it was like full on.
Somebody's texting in. There's been a run on Salmonella lately.
So my mom said that she had found the article and had heard that as well.
And
you know what? And so following it after. So I was in bed for a full 24 hours and then all of yesterday as well, because the headache that followed it was the worst headache I've ever had. I've had a migraine before. This headache was so intense, and it went down like the back of my head and back of my neck. And I think from all of the, you know, just being so tense when I was throwing up.
Okay. I have a caller on the line. I've never heard of this particular title before. A food safety instructor.
Works for me.
And that is Jim. So he says he can help us out with this stuff. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right, Jim. So what can you tell us about what Kathy went through here?
Well, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of moving parts when it deals with food safety. And here's the thing. You can get sick from 30 minutes after the initial infection up to 6 weeks after.
6 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
Hepatitis A, believe it or not, is a foodborne illness. Uh-huh. So here's the thing. You have to go through like a laboratory analysis. It's got to be confirmed. That whatever you have is matching either the food item or the person that could have made you sick.
Yeah.
So while a lot of people think, you know, oh, I ate something 2 hours ago or 3 hours ago, that in fact would have been the culprit, that's not necessarily true. As far as like salmonella goes, that's one common element that you'll hear often associated with undercooked
chicken
and raw eggs. Absolutely. But there's Listeria, which can be on the surface of often prepared foods. There's Staphylococcus bacteria, which is actually on the surface of your skin. If you see somebody scratch their hair or scratch their arm and then touch your food. So not to necessarily doubt Kathy and saying that, you know, I ate something at, you know, 6 o'clock and by 10 o'clock I was sick. It's possible, but not always certain.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Jim,
real careful.
Kathy said that the guy who was preparing her food used the wrap to scratch his head. So that could have been an issue.
Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim. Jim, when you come down with an illness like that, can they get to take care of you, the doctor? I mean, do a quick fix on you?
I don't know how quick it is. I mean, you know, if you're dehydrated enough, which is typically what would cause that headache that you had, Kathy, you can often treat the symptoms, unless, of course, you know exactly what was the culprit. You know, for instance, if it's salmonella, which is bacterial, and you can do some form of antibacterial, something like norovirus, which is the one that we heard about with our friends at Chipotle, that's a virus. So you'll need an antiviral, and you can treat it that way.
I would take it all. I would just put it in a big pot. Stir it up and drink it.
You can do that.
Yes, because, I mean, when you are in the throes of food poisoning, you're
terrible.
Afraid you won't die.
Oh, my God. It was seriously. I'm not kidding you. I would rather be dead right now.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Well, thank you, Jim, for the info. But there's a lot of variables to this stuff. So we appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
So Saturday morning, I thought it had passed, and I was finished, and I actually went downstairs and got a Pedialyte pop, one of Chase's that I've had in the freezer for a while, you know, for whenever he gets sick. And I had that. That was all I had had since the night before. There was nothing left in my stomach, and sure enough, like 15, 20 minutes later, I'm like, oh,
bam,
man,
came right back up.
I'm not finished with this yet. Yeah.
Wow. Were you a full service? Was everything on? Were all ports active?
Yeah. Not okay. To, you know. Yeah,
not to be disgusting.
But honestly, did you?
So let's just say there was a point in the night where I had to use the trash can to throw up in the bathroom.
Oh my God!
Because
you
crapped
the bed.
You were pooping at the same time.
Well, I wasn't
the
velocicrapter.
The velocicrapter.
So what Cassie just said is that she crapped all over her bed and had to use.
No,
velocicrapter is. A necessity.
But so you are feeling a little bit better today, right?
Yeah. So yesterday I started to feel a little bit better. Still like gross in my stomach. I couldn't really eat too much. And I sort of feel the same way today. And I still have a little bit of the headache.
So by 6 p.m. this evening, how clean will your house actually be?
Oh, well, you know what? Yeah, what's great is that the cleaning ladies are coming today.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, let them deal with the crappy sheets.
No, I didn't leave throw up everywhere.
I just thought you would disinfect everything top to bottom.
Well, yeah, but it just so happens that they were scheduled because, you know, the holidays are coming up, so they're coming over.
Hope you left an extra 20 for them.
I know.
In this case, though, Kathy, I'll tell you this, and it's the one thing that is the truth. After both severe food poisoning episodes,
a day or two after, I felt like I had had the best cleanse of my life.
What?
Like your whole system just like resets because, you know, any...
Oh.
You've purged.
You've purged. And not only that, your abs are rock hard.
Yes.
From puking for hours.
Best workout ever. And you, how many pounds did you lose?
I lost 8 pounds in 24 hours.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not
kidding.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah.
And do your stomach muscles feel tight? Hurling?
My stomach muscles, and like I said, from the back of my head, like down my neck.
Total body workout.
Thank you, Salmonella.
Yeah, thank you, Salmonella. When I needed to get into shape for training, I ate raw chicken.
Screw yoga.
Yeah.
Let me go to Deirdre. Hers was so bad, it got really out of control. Hey, Deirdre, good morning.
Good morning. It's a privilege to talk to you.
Oh, we're happy to have you on. What's your story, Deirdre?
I got food poisoning 2 years ago that put me into labor.
What?
So this put, oh my gosh.
How far along were you?
I was 38 weeks. So I was kind of happy about it.
Deidre, you had food poisoning while you were going through labor?
No, I threw up so much that it started my labor.
Okay. Wow. Could you imagine that?
I could see that. It was like violent.
You'd have to receive a Purple Heart after that.
Yeah. What'd you name your baby? Anything that has to do with food poisoning?
Puke.
Oh, no, nothing. Nothing like pot roast that got me sick.
And this is little puke.
Oh, wow.
Wow. All right, Deirdre, that sucks, man, having to do both of those.
And you know what? It just, like, it ruined the entire weekend. I had, like, a packed weekend. I had to do a movie screening. I had, my friend Elisa had this big fashion show. I had a bridal shower yesterday. I had to miss everything.
You had to bail on all of that.
You should have done the bridal shower, at least. Could you imagine?
I felt so... I missed everything.
Let me go next to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm happy to bother you at work.
Oh, cool. Happy to have you. What's up, buddy?
So my wife had like wretched food poisoning. I was actually falling asleep holding her hair in the bathroom.
Wow.
And it was so bad that I was like, that's it. We're going. We're going to the urgent care. We can't do this anymore. So we get there. The doctor's like, all right, basically drop trial. I'm going to give you the shot in your butt. So, of course, I'm hysterical laughing, and she's not finding it funny.
Yeah, that probably helped.
Yeah, no, it helped a lot, for sure. But I swear to God, in 10 minutes, she was better.
No kidding.
Do you know what kind of food poisoning she had, and B, what exactly did they give her?
She had some sort of, like, funky fish. It was like a tuna that got jacked up, and the doctor was saying that... if the fish isn't stored at the right temperature within the right amount of time, there's a natural bacteria that starts occurring, and that bacteria is what can cause the food poisoning.
Oh, that's awesome.
These, like, tuna tacos, and it destroyed her. It was absolutely horrendous.
That's actually what I found, because I looked it up. I was, you know, searching some stuff, and I found that a lot is caused by that, by not storing the meat or the fish or whatever it is at the proper temperature.
Mm-hmm. You had a lot of time to do research over the weekend.
Well, you know what? It was actually hard for me to even be on my phone or watch TV when I had that headache afterwards.
You want to die.
But I just couldn't, like I was sitting...
The screen.
The light. Like, even the TV across the room, I had to turn all the lights off. I couldn't watch TV.
Hey, Kevin, so was it just an anti-nausea medication that they gave her, do you know?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I don't know what it did. It was a miracle. I mean, he gave it to her, and she, within a couple minutes, was like, the stomach settled, everything was fine, and she just chugged a bunch of Gatorade after that and was, like, good to go with no residual effects. I mean, it was like it was some sort of David Blaine potion.
I don't know. Thanks, Kevin, because one time I had a migraine so bad I had to go to the emergency room. They gave me the stuff Dilaudid, which essentially is like heroin. It's like morphine or whatever, but they had to give me an anti-nausea medication to go along with it. And the headache didn't go away, so they were going to give me another round of Dilaudid, and they said, but we can't give you the anti-nausea again. For whatever reason, you can't take it again.
Oh.
And I'm like, my head's killing me. I don't care. They gave it to me. Oh, my God, did I vomit all over the place without that anti-nausea medication. So I guess they have some stuff that'll keep you from puking. You
were you with a vicious migraine puking your brains out?
Oh, it was just heaven.
Was
no, it was absolute agony. It was horrible. Horrible. Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I was looking up, as I was sitting on the bathroom floor throwing up, I was looking up some, like, remedies.
Recipes. So
I'm like, like, the pain in my stomach, what can I do?
And yes, yeah.
So, you know, of course, it was, like, things that you can eat, and it was, like, coconut milk, ginger. I'm like,
if I drank coconut milk right now,
yes,
that would be like the end of me.
String bean casserole.
Yeah.
It'll really calm the stomach.
Now, before I go to this next call, I think, first of all, you're going to get yelled at for not calling him.
Oh, okay.
So just to let you know.
All right.
But we need to get some facts about this. Kathy apparently had food poisoning over the weekend, and she thinks that's what it was. So Dr. Mike Sirigliano from Penn Medicine and Fox 29. Good morning, Dr. Mike.
You get me all excited.
Food poisoning.
Call me.
Yeah.
Because it was at midnight, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. I wasn't going to call you then.
You called me at that time.
No. I haven't. Maybe 11 o'clock at night, but it was just too late. And I knew what it was. There was nothing, at least I didn't think there was anything I could do.
So, look, when it comes to food poisoning, and by the way, that's what I think you had, is it comes on fairly rapidly.
Yes.
And the thing is, you do feel like you want to die because you're dehydrated, as the other caller said. What you need to do, though, is the gentleman that had his wife come in and get a shot in the butt, that probably was some kind of Zofran or some anti-emetic, as we call it, because the key here is to prevent you from getting dehydrated. Many times. And by the way, I had salmonella, and I was down for the count. I mean, I never miss a day of work, and I couldn't come in for 3 days. And so you have to stay hydrated, and if you can't, then you get IV fluids. And so you probably now I did on Fox a couple of weeks ago. There's been a lot of outbreaks of salmonella with undercooked chicken. Now, you think you had chicken?
I know that's what it was.
Yeah, and they can't figure out exactly where it is because it's been so widespread. And I kind of like sunny side up eggs.
Yes.
I like them kind of wet. Yep. But after doing that story, you do run the risk of getting salmonella, and then you can have a problem.
So food poisoning, and in this case, you're saying that if one were able to maintain their hydration, that's the key element to feeling better quicker.
I don't know how I could have maintained hydration. Nothing was staying in my stomach.
Well, the shot or like an IV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, is that right? Right.
So if you can't keep anything down, one, it's going to make you feel terrible, and you can get dehydrated and you get good and sick. So you do need to get IV fluids or get something to help you with the vomiting. But the bottom line is, if you get hydrated, usually these things will go away on their own. Sometimes you do need treatment, but there's all kinds of critters. And as was mentioned, it can be viral. It can be bacterial. But in your particular case, it sounds to me like it was the chicken, and you can get good and sick fairly quickly.
We have this standing rule. Anytime your hand touches raw meat of any type, you're getting ready to steak ready, if you're seasoning it, your hands might get on it. Before you touch anything else, and Kathy, you know I'm not a crazy hand washer.
Not like you.
But when it comes to raw meat, I never, ever, ever, ever take a chance with that. Always wash my hands every single time.
Love you guys.
Love you too. I tell you, though, Preston, you know, we were talking. When you slide into that realm, Kathy, that you were in, you look for any break of comfort, anything. This part of the pillow right here, right by the label. If I put my head right here for a second, I feel better.
Hey, I remember just staying in the bathroom, just laying on the floor. And this was my spot. Bring me a pillow in here because I'm not going anywhere.
I had a shower stall.
Yeah.
So it had just basically a curtain that went across it in one of my bachelor pads. And I slept in. I just slept
in the shower.
In the base, because it was...
Why not?
I all I had to do was crawl. If there were any accidents, I could just wash it down the drain.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you see people coming out of, like, heroin, you know, like, it's so nightmarish that, if the sun rises in the morning, when you felt better, it was like... The clouds clear.
Oh, Mike, it was...
You've been delivered from death.
It was unbelievable. And I got almost no relief from that entire time.
Yes.
Like, as I was throwing up, because when I wasn't, I would go back to bed, but the pain in my stomach was so terrible.
You can't rest.
I doze off for, I think it was maybe like 15, 20 minutes, and then it was like a beeline back to the bathroom. Like, I would just jump up and run back to the bathroom.
Yep. Hey, I want to go to this call because I've never heard of this. Mike is an EMT, and he's got kind of a hack for... if you are, or if you have that extreme case of nausea. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Hey, Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
I'm not an EMT. I am a firefighter, though. Oh. No, when my ex-girlfriend got in surgery, the nurse, and she was waking up and really nauseous from the anesthesia, you know the alcohol prep pads that they wipe you off of before you get, like, a shot?
Sure.
Yeah.
They were putting that under her nose like a smelling salt almost. I guess the smell of the rubbing alcohol, and I've done it to my kids. I told people about it. I've talked to EMTs who said they do it. It's one of them. Some people say it works. Some people say it doesn't.
Okay.
But the people it works on, it really works. Why it works, I don't know.
Okay.
It's just one of them weird things.
Interesting.
You bring up a good
something to try or don't eat. You know, the roadkill from a week ago.
Yeah, yeah. My mother, thanks, when Mike. I was sick in elementary school, if our stomachs were a little unsettled, she'd make us huff paint.
Oh, would she?
Yeah. And it would calm us right down.
You felt a lot better after.
Just, here's a sock.
Here, breathe in the sock, son.
Oh, my God. You know what, though? Anytime that I've passed out a couple of times, and when I wake up, I feel nauseous, like I'm going to throw up. And they mm-hmm. did use the smelling salt or whatever that, you know, that they crack and put under your nose, whatever that's called. And that immediately took away the nausea. So I wonder, I don't know if it would help in this situation.
Yeah,
but
I mean, can you keep doing that for 7 hours?
I've had them, like, shoved in my nose.
Yeah, just from the hose up your nose. There's nothing like it, though. And to that original food poisoning encounter that I had, my wife and I had just started dating. So I'm over at her apartment, and the parents don't know that we're, defying the rules of the Lord,
right,
and having sex and all that stuff. So she's like, dear God, this guy's going to die in my apartment.
Wow.
Because she literally at one point thought I was dead and had to really work to prove that I was not.
And you know me, like, what was worse is, like, I, of course, nobody likes throwing up, but, like, the smell, and, like, I wouldn't open my eyes once there was throw up in the toilet, because if I saw it, it would make me throw up again.
You use that, though. You there's different tricks you use. Like, it's like in the end when Burt Reynolds is throwing towards the shore, just let me get 10 minutes of sleep, but I'll donate to a charity.
I was crying over the toilet. Like, yeah. I was in the bathroom by myself throwing up and crying.
Wow. So are you... Are you hesitant to eat anything? Or are you good right now?
Not hesitant. I had some crackers yesterday and...
some sushi.
Yeah, right.
They had the bluefin special.
No, but Jace had a chicken taco, and I was like, oh, God, don't come near me with that.
You got to come back cautiously.
Yeah,
do you
know what you do? Very bland, yeah. And like this... I have coffee this morning, and it's not really sitting so well.
Would you associate with, for example, I don't order chicken lo mein, they gave me pork lo mein, but I have not eaten lo mein in years. I know, listen, I know it was a one-off, but it's just so locked in your mind that you don't want to go anywhere near it.
Well, I think I'm going to have a hard time. Like, I remember last time this happened, I didn't eat out for a while.
Yeah.
You know, of course you're going to go back into it. It's just life, but...
Well, you're such a chef at home anyway.
Well, no, I mean, I kind of, like, had to. I was, like, went grocery store, like, buying everything that I can for the house, because I'm not going out for a little while.
Right. I want to wrap this up, but Kelly's been on hold for almost 20 minutes, so I want to go to her real quick. So let's get Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. Kelly, so what happened? This is your mom's fault, right?
No, not my mom's fault. She had the party, but it wasn't her fault.
Okay.
So it was my sister's bridal shower. I'm going to say it was probably about 1990. And it was just like a potluck, shower at the house. And my sister's future father-in-law made baked ziti. So we all ate the ziti. Life went on, Sunday night. My girlfriend and I went out drinking, came home, had another big plate of ziti. The next day we woke up and we're like, oh, God, not feeling good.
Right.
And slowly the phone call started coming in, like, oh, Mary's sick or Kelly's sick. And we found out quick enough that we all got, like, slammed with salmonella.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was, like, 40 people sick, 25 of us in the hospital.
25 to the hospital?
You took up a wing.
Kelly, yes, can you eat baked ziti to this day? Are you good with it now?
Well, it's funny because you don't know what it is at the time that gets you sick. So it's sort of, you don't associate what you're doing the next day with, if you got it that night and it was something, the only thing you ate, but they said it was just one egg that was mixed in with the ricotta because we had the Department of Health out and everything because there were so many people sick. And I'm telling you guys, for weeks and months, we couldn't, her wedding party looked like just white zombies. It was horrible.
Kelly, second grade. Grace L. Hubbs Elementary School, the cafeteria, they serve ziti. I vomited my brains out. I didn't eat it for another 20 years.
20 years. Wow. All right. Well, thank you, Kelly. Appreciate it. It's a cautionary tale, man. But, you know, it's all in the preparation process. Not all, but some of it can be. But like our one caller said, it could be E. coli, salmonella. These are like a whole laundry list of things that could be the problem. So who knows? But you know what? Wash it down with a little beer and you'll be okay. Yeah.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have some people here in our studio that are going to perform for us, and I'm really excited about them. I mean, we're all huge Beatles fans.
Huge.
And I've seen a number of tributes to the Beatles over the years. I've seen the Fab Four on a number of occasions. Last year, we had them at the Pops, Philly Pops, did a tribute, and it was wonderful as well. And my friend Will has seen this group and said, we got to go see them, so I'm going to try and go see them on Sunday. It's a tribute to the Beatles and rave reviews, and it is called Rain. And we have all four members of Rain here this morning on the Preston and Steve Show. So hang on a second here. I got to make sure we have our audio. We have all four members here. We have Paul, and we have Steve, and Aaron, and Alistair, who all play the parts of John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming. Case, we got to bring that volume way up. Casey's our engineer this month.
Ronnie's over here. Ronnie just showed up. We had a last minute... There we go.
We need some volume brought up. I got him pinned.
We're
all
tweaking
the way
on the fly here, but it'll be perfect.
No.
And a special tribute this time around.
Nice.
Very well done. Is the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And this is the first time that you guys have tackled the album from beginning to end. Is that correct?
Yeah, and all live. No pre-recorded tracks or anything like that. It's the four of us and our keyboard player. We all would do it live, yeah.
I'm looking at the tracks on Sgt. Pepper's. That is an accomplishment, trying to pull off this album live, which you guys clearly can do. Because there's some... It was an engineering masterpiece. It still is to this day. This album was recorded on a four-track recorder. George Martin, the genius, was able to pull all of that sound into four tracks by bouncing things around.
And they created technologies that were instrumental in what we now hear commonly.
They were pioneers.
What is the most challenging song for you guys to pull off on the album, do you think?
Probably there were big three. There were the big three. Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, Within You Without You, and She's Leaving Home.
Okay.
You know, She's Leaving Home is a big orchestra, so we had to figure out how to do that. Alistair, our George, is doing the string part, all the pizzicato stuff and the harp stuff. I'm playing the low baritone string part, and then our keyboard player, Mark Byers, playing all the rest. Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, I'm playing the organ type, the circus type, Calliope.
Wow.
And Mark Byers playing all of those circus-type sounds that basically what George Martin did. He went into the Abbey Road sound effects department and took everything, you know, pertinent, everything that sounded like a circus or a fair or anything like that, put it all together, chopped it up, threw it all into the air, and then put it all back together. So it's this, like, cacophony of sounds, and Mark Byers is doing that, like, live every single night.
That's so cool. We reference it. The Beatles Complete is one of the great sort of short documentaries about the band and the recording process and everything. And reading about you guys and Rain, you know, it's clear there's so much love behind what you're doing in recreating this. And reading the reviews, and people have gone to the show, the level of emotionalism, because this is something that we can't have in its actual form, but it's pretty damn close. And in fact, the Beatles themselves couldn't tour and pull off the more complex music, and didn't. They wanted to go into the studio and be more adventurous. And so this is a history that could have been, that we're sort of allowed to see because of what you do. Is that at the same time wonderful and daunting to take that on every night?
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where we do what we do because we have a passion for the music and replicating it, and the audience is there because they love the Beatles. So it's really just a huge celebration of what the Beatles accomplished.
Well, and for those who don't know, the guys are dressed in their outfits right now, and this looks like Beatles circa 1966 to me. And do you go through the phases of the career throughout the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do everything from when America was first introduced to the Four Lads on the Ed Sullivan Show through Abbey Road and the Hey Jude bits and stuff like that and everything in between.
And you'll be doing that with this time around, including the entirety of Sgt. Pepper's, right?
Yeah, we made a little bit of room within our second act for the entire Pepper Hollow.
Okay. I have some more questions because, by the way, Steve, who plays John, is local. He's from Lansdale, which
That's
is pretty
cool.
Awesome. I live right out that way. I live in Harleysville, so I'm not too far from Lansdale. Yeah, right around the corner. But listen, we want to get a song from you guys and we'll ask a few more questions if that's cool.
Yeah. Real quick, Paul, are you going to be wearing your headphones or no?
No.
Okay, I'm going to take them off and pull them away from the microphone all
the time. So it does a feedback.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't get any feedback. Okay. Yeah.
You guys are speaking our language.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly.
I got it. Wait 1 second.
We'll do it live!
There you go. All right, so they're at the Academy of Music tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. We have Rain in the studio whenever you guys are ready to perform.
Here comes the sun, do-do-do-do. Here comes the sun, and I said, it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun.
I was like almost gonna cry.
Oh my god! I got a little choked up. Too.
I know it's so bizarre. So I'm halfway through the song, like Jesus Christ, I'm gonna cry.
Oh my god!
It was really hard for me not to sing along with it. You know what I mean? Like it's one of the, in the car. Yeah, I'll sing along, but I, you know.
So okay. So a couple.
Am
of
I a pussy? Is that it?
No.
It's a beautiful. It's
crying. That's the power of the Beatles' music. We see it all the time.
Yeah.
Our audiences are just overfilled with the peace and the love and the message of positivity that the Beatles' music brings.
It's so cool.
It's I was blown away by that. It's number one. You guys are great musicians. This is fantastic. You can tell clearly you guys are wonderful and talented. To be a member of Rain, and by the way, is it? Are you guys like? Do people rotate in and out of this group, or is it just you guys?
It has in the past, but at this point, this is the cast.
Yeah. All right. Because some very specific things have to happen for you to be a member of this group in particular. Number one, you have to have a little bit of a likeness like the band. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to sing and play like they do as well.
That's the foundation.
Yeah. And then Paul's got to be left-handed. I mean, how do you look like him, sound like him, and be left-handed?
And your name is Paul.
You've got to force some things.
It's bizarre. And also you had to, you got to mimic these guys a little bit. So I'm sure, Steve, you as John have your kind of bow-legged stance out there.
Yes.
Right, exactly. George, guitar up high. And Paul, you have your feet more together, and kind of, you've got them together right now, exactly, all the time. And Ringo, and by the way, that's Aaron that is Ringo. Do you do the little head toss that he does while he's playing the whole thing? Yeah.
He's injured his neck in the
back. I believe it. Ringo was a swing.
He's wearing a collar right now.
He would swing. All right, it's just, and the harmonies sound phenomenal.
It's perfect, and it's funny because as I was watching the video of the performance, I just started to squint a little bit, and I'm like, there would be no way, honestly, even from seats a way back, you would easily think you're watching a Beatles concert, which is obviously the effect. But it's more the music, as you said. It's just a flood of emotions come back. And then to have the opportunity to see it perform live as close as you can get, that's an extra added bonus.
Yeah. So Preston is probably the biggest Beatles fan that I know. There's a Beatles song that is my favorite song of all time. The Beatles aren't my favorite band, but my favorite song of all songs ever written in the history of man is Let It Be. Do you guys, what is your favorite Beatles song?
Oh, it depends on the hour of the day.
Yeah.
Because they wrote songs for every emotion, every mood. So, I mean, it really depends. There's over 220. So.
Yeah, I go in and out of phases,
right.
Most definitely.
All right,
yeah.
So, Paul, that song in particular that you just played is a beautiful song. It's a George song, but this time of year, it carries special meaning for people in this area because all of a sudden you start getting glimpses of what the sun is again. Mm-hmm. And there is all these metaphors that are attached to it, but at the end of the day, it's just a happy, uplifting, oh my God, life may return kind of a feeling to it. Do you guys feel that as well?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Sure. Every night mm-hmm. we play it.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's you know, all the music that the Beatles made is just an uplifting, it resonates with your heart. It's amazing.
Did you guys see the Ron Howard documentary? It was all concert.
8 days a week.
It's
sure.
just, it was wild to see what they, a lot of people don't know that when they were performing like at Shea Stadium, they were performing over the actual speaker system of Shea Stadium. The right. technology hadn't even advanced to the point where you could have heard music the way you guys will play it in that way. And obviously there's a certain point at which they stopped touring, but there's so much of a live aspect of the Beatles that never existed, you know, and so you bring it to life.
Thank you. They couldn't even hear themselves. I mean, that just
over the screaming alone.
How amazing they were as musicians, perfect. That they could be a band without even like hearing each other. They'd watch each other and they could see. It was like a brotherhood.
Yeah.
You know, they could feel what the other was playing and could be a band that way.
Because the recorded audio that you hear from those shows where they couldn't even hear themselves mm-hmm. is fantastic.
Still great.
They were able to be on key and mm-hmm. sing in harmony with each other without being able to hear each other.
Against nearly 56,000 screaming wow. fans.
I remember as a kid, and we were going to pick my brother up from the drive-in, the movie A Hard Day's Night. Yep. And I remember pulling, I'm a little kid, and we pulled up, and I'm hearing screaming as we're pulling up to, you know, this is from the cars, the people screaming, the girls watching the movie, and it was just something that, how tangible a memory I have of that.
Hey, when you guys get a little bit later in the show, as the band tends to age, I'm curious, because as performers, you know, when you're on stage, you can sweat a little bit.
Yeah.
Does your fake mustache ever fall off?
Yeah.
That's why you use the mic to just push your
face.
Push
your face.
Because they got hairy in the later part of their careers.
Yeah, heard some people get bummed. Oh, I thought that was a real mustache. Yeah.
Well, in about 4 years, you'll be stapling it on. So,
yeah, Velcro mustache.
You'll have a surgical strip attached to your lip.
Brought to you by Gillette.
You guys have traveled the world, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Played the West End, London's version of Broadway in October. Played the London Palladium where the Beatles actually played.
Wow. How are you received in England?
Very well. I was surprised.
Okay.
I was kind of worried, you know, Americans coming in, being the Beatles, you know, to a bunch of, you know, English people. I mean, And yet they were so responsive because I think they realized that, we're paying tribute to their boys.
Yeah.
Are you finding, because I'll walk around, I'll see 13, 12-year-olds wearing Beatles shirts. Are you finding that there is a whole new group, of fans on the horizon?
Yeah, we see everybody from 8 months to 80.
Yeah.
And everywhere in between. I like to call the younger generations the YouTubers because they end up knowing more than their parents and their grandparents, who are the baby boomers now. No offense to any baby boomers. They're wonderful and gorgeous.
Now, my kids, I have three kids, they love the Beatles. We showed them Yellow Submarine as babies, and they loved the music. And so now they're fans. And I was with my daughter, who's only 10 years old, in the car the other day, and I put on some Beatles. We're listening to it, and I go, hey, do you want me to... When we put on something a little more modern to listen to, she goes, no. She goes, Dad, by the way, who doesn't love the Beatles?
That's right. Good job, Dad.
My girl.
I love it.
I worry about anybody that doesn't like the Beatles.
Right. I know. Sure. I do, too. You know, it's a serious concern, actually.
And they should be round up and put into an internment camp.
That's right.
Or studied.
Or studied, yes.
At the very least, studied.
To correct that anomaly.
Yeah. Rain is going to be at the Academy of Music. Yeah. Do you guys have another song that you can play for us? Or no?
We probably could, sure. Yeah, why not?
All right, whip something up for us, sure, if you wouldn't mind. Yeah. We'd love to hear one more, because it just sounds so good.
One more for the road, yes.
All right, is Rain on MMR. Here we go.
Baby's good to me, you know. She's happy as can be, you know. She said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby said she's mine, you know. She tells me all the time, you know. She said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad. She's telling all the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know. She said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. Baby said she's mine, you know. She tells me all the time, you know. She said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad. She's telling all the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know. She said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. She's in love with me and I feel fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Spot on.
The whole run of the Beatles, man. They do it from beginning to end. It's fantastic stuff. And, it's all-ages show. Man, thank you guys so much for coming here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having
us. And thanks for carrying on the wonderful contribution that the Beatles made to music. It's fantastic. Let's hear it for Rain, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And welcome Steve back to his hometown.
Kathy Romano hosts the 12th annual Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids, Friday, May 3rd at True Beauty Concepts in Southampton, PA.
Hey, everyone, get your ponytails ready for the chopping block. We're asking you to cut your hair for a great cause, Wigs for Kids. Their mission, helping children look themselves and live their lives. You'll need at least 12 inches of hair to donate, and with what's left, the skilled stylists from three amazing hair salons, Gravity, David Arnold, and Tierre, will cut and style your new do. Go to PrestonandSteve.com for guidelines and to make a donation appointment.
Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids.
Refreshments provided by Metro Beverage Philadelphia and Panera Bread.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File is brought to you by Dietz & Watson Real Philly Deli. Want to know Philly's best-kept hoagie secrets? Pick up Dietz & Watson's Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide, a map of the best delis in the city. Earn prizes like T-shirts, coolers, food, and even birds tickets just for eating Real Philly Hoagies.
All right, here we go. We're going to start with this. Oh, my God. In the midst of a public health emergency in Washington state, in an area with a higher than average percentage of vaccine exemptions, these are people who decide not to vaccinate their children.
Yep.
One anti-vax mom has looked for advice on how to protect her 3-year-old from the measles outbreak in the area.
How about a vaccination?
I wonder. Yeah. She said, my 3-year-old is not vaccinated and there is currently a measles outbreak in my state. Any suggestions for precautions I can take to protect her would be very much appreciated.
You can't see the irony of that.
Yeah, as the article points out, if only there were a tried and tested method with which to protect people from infectious disease. Needless to say, the mom certainly got a response as the post was widely shared, and some of the suggestions were hilarious and a little dark at times.
Did somebody come up with a viable alternative?
No.
Yeah. Ice cream?
Yeah. Just try ice cream. You never know. Maybe we've been overlooking something this entire time.
Hey, I've never had measles, and I eat a ton of ice cream.
There you go.
There's an example.
Hey,
did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Call me.
Here's a follow-up story. A Florida man has been sentenced to a year in jail after jumping in a crocodile exhibit at the St. Augustine Alligator Farm Zoological Park last November. I told you guys this story a while back. Yeah. Brandon Keith Hatfield pleaded no contest to charges that included trespassing and criminal mischief, and he caused more than $5,000 in damages at the zoo when he broke in and jumped into the crocodile pond. They found a rubber shoe, and they found a pair of shorts. These were floating in the pool. They found blood.
Yeah.
And that when they asked around, they found out that someone did indeed go to the hospital with bite marks. When asked if he had been there, he said, no, sir, I wasn't. He had several bites on his foot.
I got bitted by an alligator.
So he was officially arrested and sentenced to a year in jail after that. This is weird. Key fobs that suddenly won't unlock vehicles, cars that won't start, alarms that go off for no reason and can't be quieted. Something mysterious is thwarting drivers outside a grocery store in the very small Alberta town of Carstairs, and it's sparking all kinds of theories. The problems have been happening for weeks in the parking lot outside of the Westview Co-op grocery store. A longtime employee at the dollar store right across the street said that she hears it from some folks, and it's all they talk about when they come into her store to buy a battery for their fobs, and then they discover that doesn't solve the problem. So the Cooperative Association says it is taking the matter very seriously. Electricians rode to the rescue, but the mystery endured. They said, we had shut down the power source in our store this past Monday night to determine that the source of the interference isn't emanating from our location. The location is unknown, so we're just waiting for follow-up from the ministry.
And they can't nail it down.
They have no idea what's happening. Wow. They're working with a team to try and figure out what's going on, including a federal government agency. So it's this bizarre spot where everything kind of goes electronically haywire. Isn't that weird?
I'm a little scared.
Yeah, don't be scared. Hey, or you could be as scared of this. Sex robot owners are swapping used parts and selling bruised and battered dolls on a creepy online forum.
Yeah, this is kind of disgusting.
The bot bonkers flog their secondhand dolls to each other, sometimes for thousands of dollars apiece. The doll forum is the go-to destination for owners of so-called sex dolls, acting as a safe haven for chat about the best models and sharing explicit photos and videos.
What's the best vagina out there?
But it's also turned into a digital swap shop for buyers on a budget. Listen, if that's your thing, that's your thing. Fine. But these guys are swapping these used parts for these.
I'm sorry. It's like, Nick, your friend that wanted to go have seats on a fleshlight.
Jesus, that guy's going to run for Congress someday.
I mean, that's not something you share.
Halfsies.
You want to go halfsies?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You get it this weekend.
Sex dolls and electronic sex robots can often be prohibitively expensive, with top models costing of upwards of $15,000.
In many ways, it's actually cheaper to have a living human who can talk to you and engage in conversation and express love.
However, doll forum users can pick up used models for just a few hundred bucks, and one user posted that he was trying to sell a doll for $250 and cited the condition as poor.
Look at some of it. We're looking at some of these things sans their latex skin.
Yeah.
Unpleasant.
The owner listed the item as used and said she is a mess of damages, which is why she's cheap. So they're selling the ones.
So they're actually slutty sex dolls.
Has just banged the living hell out of.
Yeah, really. These are really thickly made, and I just beat the piss out of it.
All right, I've been giving the wrap up.
Oh man,
yeah, we got to wrap it up there. But sex robots, good spot to end on.
I think so.
There you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next coolest teacher is St. Hubert's in Philly. Now, I was going to use that to key off of another set because their mascot is the Bambies.
Yeah.
The
Bambies.
And then we had one the other day that was the Calculator.
Yes.
Actual school mascot. Yeah. And what was it? Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Was another.
Was it Mickey or Minnie?
It was Mickey.
Okay.
It was a girl's school, and the mascot was Mickey Mouse.
Do you have to sign off? Do you have to get permission
to use? They did. From what I remember.
From Disney?
Yeah.
Okay. But I was curious about other mascots that, because I never would have guessed the Bambies. Because it's usually used the phrase home of the fighting.
Tigers.
Home of the fighting. Whatever it is. I went to, for an event to Reading High School. And by the way, that school looks like a prison, man. It looks like Shawshank.
Home of the Fighting Convicts.
Prison. No, but
my friend is the superintendent out there.
Oh, my God.
Does it look like a prison?
It is this gigantic, imposing-looking thing up on a hill, and it looks like you're going to be locked up for life if you go in there. It's cool-looking, but it just doesn't look like a high school.
Hey, it's one fine month for prom.
But anyhow, I think their mascot is like the Crimson Knights.
Okay.
It's like something really badass. Cool. And inside the gym was a full suit of armor that was painted. And it's up.
So it's very austere.
It's sitting up like, 20 feet in the air. And I'm like, that's. Yeah. I'm like, that's pretty badass. But I didn't know of any other interesting, lame, or strange school mascots that we have in our area.
Ours was pretty good. We were in high school, we were the Falcons, and then
that's a good mascot.
College was the Golden Rams.
All right. We were the Colts in high school, which is neat.
Yeah, like Colts. Okay.
We were the Grundles.
The Grundles. Home of the Fighting Grundles. Nice.
We were the Pioneers, Conestoga Pioneers, which is all right. I didn't love it. Lower Marion is the Aces, and I never quite got that.
As in Flying Aces or I don't know.
But I think the symbol that they use is like the ace, like a card.
Okay.
And Lower Marion was a Central League team, so we played them twice a year. The classic college odd one is, I think, the one that the students got to vote for, which is University of California at Santa Clara, I think. Anyway, it's the Banana Slugs.
Yeah.
And they got to pick that mascot, and that was the one that they went with.
Oh, wait. Were they just being goofy?
I think so. Yeah, it was a bunch of stone kids in the 90s.
But aces, as far as cards are concerned, there's no symbol. It's just an A.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
As opposed to, a diamond or a club
they're usually
a suit.
Aren't they usually, they follow in kind to professional team? I mean, actually my high school team, I think it was the Rams.
Okay.
There was the mascot. But isn't that usually, don't you actually go after pre-existing? It used to be. I mean, I don't, is there an NFL team called the Calculators?
No, not okay. that I don't.
No, but yeah.
But wait a minute, you went to community college?
My high school I'm talking about.
No, I know, but did you go to a community
New York Institute of Technology, yeah.
So, do community colleges have a mascot?
I don't think
we were a community school. We had a gerbil on a string.
Oh.
They have sports teams, right?
I don't know.
Community colleges?
I don't
know. We did have sports. Right next door was CW Post, which is like a real school.
So do you remember what your mascot might have been?
I have no idea.
Okay. And what was it again? The school?
The New York Institute of Technology.
Nick, can you look up New York Institute of Technology and see what their...
And it was the... to clarify, it was the UC Santa Cruz is the banana slugs.
Okay.
All right.
I think we were the rash.
The rash?
Yeah. Oh, the painful... The rectal itch.
I like that. The blisters.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I will go to Eric on the phones. Hi, Eric. Good morning.
Hi.
Eric. All right. So what school?
So Casey might know this since we're bitter, vicious rivals, but I went to Monsignor Bonner in Upper Darby, and we were the Friars.
Yeah. Friars.
Yeah.
Friars, like monks with the shaved
top. Oh. Like Friar Tuck.
Yeah.
Wearing robes.
Okay.
And that was so your mascot was a friar, a guy in a
priest. Basically. That's what the Padres are, the San Diego Padres. They use a friar, a monk, as their mascot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Steve, New York Institute of Technology, was the Bears.
The Bears.
Proud of them. So proud.
Casey, what about Cardinal O'Hara?
Lions.
The Lions.
That's good. Okay. That is a good
the Rabbis.
One. Lions. Yeah.
Would that not be awesome?
Be weird?
With the curls and the whole thing.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks to everyone for coming to the football game.
I will go to Heather. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
Hi.
What's up, Heather?
My high school was Archbishop Ryan, and ours was the Ragdolls.
The Ragdolls?
Yes.
Like
Raggedy Ann.
Raggedy Ann and Andy?
Really?
Yeah.
So what came out on the field? Was it a large Raggedy Ann?
We just had Raggedy Ann on all of our uniforms and stuff.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
That is lame.
That's like the Berenstain Bears.
Well, I mean, like a rag doll in sports, they're getting tossed around like a bunch of rag dolls.
Yeah, yes.
It's as benign as you can get.
The Teletubbies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
the wussies. Side was the Raiders.
The Raiders against the Ragdolls. Who would you bet on?
Wait, so you had two different mascots?
Yeah, because it used to be one side of the school used to be boys and the other side used to be girls, and then they combined it.
How condescending that the girls' side is the Ragdolls.
Yeah. That's
the tampons.
Yeah. The housewives.
The tampons versus the locomotives.
The housewives.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
By the way,
the fine little gals.
It looked like Delaware County Community College does have a mascot, technically, the Storm.
Storm is even, so you're dealing with something that's even, okay, so it's not like a bird of prey or a predatory animal.
Right.
But the Storm, the lightning.
St. John's in New York, they used to be the Red Men.
Red Men.
And then they became the Red Storm because Red Men was a little too...
Derogatory,
yeah.
Right.
Plan.
Kathy found one
plan
that's unofficial, and this is phenomenal. I'd never heard of this until now, but Kathy, do you want to say what it is?
Who's Scrody?
Yeah. Scrody the Scrotum.
Rhode Island School of Design. It's an unofficial mascot named Scrody.
Okay. If it's not unofficial, it doesn't count.
But it's legit the mascot at this school.
We'll come out at the game. Scrody a Scrotum.
Well, no, they do. They have they have a costume.
All right.
Is basically that.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I'm a fan of that now.
I like that.
I don't know how that's possible, but...
Because it's unofficial.
Yeah.
I found that the devil as a mascot is kind of weird, right?
Okay.
It's the ultimate evil...
Right?
Well, I mean, you have a blue devil.
Devils as well, yeah.
Yeah, and it's New Jersey Devils, but their mascot's not a demon, like
it's a rabbi.
No, it's an actual. It's the devil. It's Satan.
Yeah,
your mascot is Satan.
Yes, see, but you can get away with that. You couldn't be the Jersey Antichrists.
But you are. Also couldn't be the New Jersey Gods, right?
Could you?
Or could you?
Dare we?
I don't know.
The apostles, Fighting apostles.
Well, there's other ones, just like the saints, you know.
Yes, okay. That's all. It's all
okay.
That's in
the same
the
realm.
Yeah,
the angels.
In University,
the Scientologists.
University of St. Louis. their mascot is the Billikens, a Billiken, and I think a Billiken is the mascot itself is this kind of like impish looking. Yeah, exactly. something that would make a sound like that. Yeah, here you go. Here's a look at him.
It's like a little demon.
He's a little demon.
Like an imp.
Yeah.
And I also like the Chicago Cubs. He's like, yeah, you're a little baby bear. Right?
You're adorable.
Well, the football team is the Bears.
The baseball team. Baby bear.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Chinchillas.
Steve, Yeshiva College in New York State. The mascot is the rabbi.
Yeah! Well, that stands to reason, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let me go to Diane. Hi, Diane. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's up, Diane?
Fall sacks are yummy, first of all.
Of course. Oh, thank you. Of course. You're taking the words right out of my mouth. Ball sacks are yummy.
I went to the Philadelphia High School for Girls, or Girls High in Philly, and our mascot was actually a tree, the tree of knowledge.
Oh, the Chell Silverstein, right?
That's the giving tree.
Oh, okay.
Same thing.
The
same
tree thing. Of knowledge. Let's go trees.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it was very bizarre.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fight, trees, fight.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, the trees in the two towers.
Well, they can move. They're alive.
Pretty badass trees, yeah.
I will go next to Kristen. Hey, Kristen, good morning.
I put dildos in my mouth.
Oh, yes! A Kathy line.
Ah, beautiful. The new one.
All right, Kristen, what do you want to tell us?
Okay, we were the Witches in Brewer, Maine. It's not local, but we were the Witches.
I like that.
The Witches.
How about the Coven?
Wow.
The Fighting Coven.
See, and I like things that are singular like that. I think that's cool. An entity.
The Storm. Squirts.
The Squirts. The Crimson Tide, you know what I mean? I love that. So the Squirts.
The Squirters.
Yeah. So the Witches.
Yeah.
And what was your mascot?
That was it.
David Hasselhoff.
But was it a stereotypical witch on a broom, that type of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
And everything was black and orange.
That's a Halloween. That's perfect. Yeah. I'm totally down with that, Kristen. I think that ties right in.
I assume this is a public school?
Yes.
Okay.
All public school.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Kristen.
Who actually makes the decision on mascots? What is the protocol?
I mean, the school has to approve it, but sometimes the students get a vote.
Okay.
Well, there's got to be a board.
I guess it's how they ended up with the scrotum.
That would vote on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did the Washington Wizards change their name from the Bullets?
Because bullets were deemed to be too violent.
Yep. Yeah.
But mostly what it comes down to is they could sell a lot more jerseys when it came to the Wizards, and so it was a money-making thing, too. I know Lehigh changed their name a few years ago. It used to be the Lehigh Engineers, and I guess that sort of conjured up something that was a little too nerdy. So now they're the Mountain Hawks. Or too specific, yeah.
I just thought Engineers was kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm fighting Engineers.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
What is it? It's the Acme Packers. What was that? Just people.
The fudge.
Okay.
No. Food packing, the meat packing industry.
Okay.
That's exactly
it's not the fudge packers.
Absolutely. Same thing. It's similar to the Steelers.
Yeah.
It was a steel worker.
Oh,
so.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Let me go to Justin. Hey, Justin, good morning.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. What's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on?
We
love you.
Yeah, we love you. Thanks for calling.
I went to high school in Whitehall, Pennsylvania, and our mascot was a zephyr.
Okay.
If you don't know what a zephyr is, it's just a cool breeze.
I always thought a zephyr was an aircraft.
Nope.
What?
What's that, too?
There might be multiple meanings to it, but...
Yeah. No.
Cool breeze,
our mascot was a gust of wind, and then when we went to games,
a gust of wind.
Your mascot was a gust of wind.
So's a queef.
Yep.
The queefs are taking the field.
Oh,
yeah.
Here comes.
And that could be the song.
Yeah.
Queef will rock you.
Right, Cat.
Didn't expect the conversation.
Oh, my God. Right, Kathy? She's handing me the things to say. Jesus Christ. Queefy, you're a good team playing real good.
The thundering queefs.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. All right. Let me go to Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to say bitch.
Oh, we love saying bitch.
Oh, Billy.
I still think South Carolina Gamecocks is one of the funniest mascots.
It's a name easily derided.
Well, it is not. It's not considered naughty to say go Cox.
No,
in South Carolina, and there and Gamecocks, the fans are hardcore. For their team.
The Cocks are hardcore.
Yeah, the Cocks are hardcore. Absolutely. Go Cocks, go. Let me go to next to Joe. Joe, good morning.
Hey, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right, so what school?
Manhattan College.
Manhattan College. All right, so what was the mascot of Manhattan College?
We were the Jaspers.
The Jaspers.
What's a Jasper?
What is the derivation? What is
your little Jasper?
You're a little snickerdoodle.
Like a scamp.
Well, the original story is kind of lame, but some of my fellow students came up with a pretty great acronym. So the school's located in Riverdale, so they came up with just another student puking everywhere in Riverdale.
Okay. That's not bad.
Jaspers.
Nick, can you find out what indeed a Jasper would be?
It comes from the brother Jasper of Mary, who was a memorial figure at the college. He was the head of the resident students, so it was named after a person.
All right.
And there were Jaspers and Lady Jaspers?
Yes.
It's a shaver.
Yeah.
I use the Lady Jasper on my very private areas.
Are there any foods?
That's a great name.
Lady Jasper.
Lady Jasper.
There's the skull shaver and then the lady shaver.
Yeah.
Wow, the Lady Jasper.
Lady skull.
Smooth
the Jasper
and silky.
Yeah.
Are there any foods that are mascots?
Somebody, I don't know what school it is, but they're the pickles.
See, I like that. What about the chocolate chip cookies?
Well, the Syracuse orange.
Orange men.
Is that from the fruit or the color?
I could use a cucumber.
Well,
the cucumbers.
I mean, the mascot is a giant orange with legs and eyes.
And you can eat that.
I will go next. Wait, you have the pickles? God, wouldn't it be great if there was a women's college called the Donuts and you could have pickles and donuts? And
they're really going at it.
Yeah.
North Carolina School of Arts. It seems to be the art schools that have these bizarre mascots. They're the pickles.
All right, here's a creative and performing arts school. I have Kim on the line. Hey, Kim, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Kim. All right, so did you go to this school?
I did.
All right, and it was the Creative and Performance Arts School?
Yes, also goes by Kappa.
Kappa.
Okay, and what was your mascot?
The Pegasus.
Pegasus is a great mascot. Yeah. The winged horse.
Yeah, I like
that. Of course, but we didn't have any real sports teams. We had softball, swimming, and cross country.
Those are still teams.
Yeah.
Those are teams.
Yeah.
We had no actual mascot either that went to any of the games. We were just called the Pegasus.
You guys couldn't capture a flying horse?
No, we couldn't.
You need to see Clash of the Titans.
Thanks,
you did a lickety split.
By the way,
students that could draw them real good.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, Casey, the person in the suit, in the mascot suit, you would have been. I thought you would.
I was.
You were the mascot. I was for Cardinal O'Hara.
He was a Jasper.
Yeah. I was a lion.
Really?
I was.
For how long?
Just your senior year. That's it. Yeah,
only a senior could do it.
Yeah. So me and Keith Campbell were the mascots.
Was it fun?
No.
did they let you have a little bit of license to have some fun in it, or were they
you're in a Catholic school, so you know you sort of have to be on your best behavior.
Right.
I didn't necessarily care for it. I thought I'd be into it, and then you know I did a couple of games. And
we're forgetting a fun one. Wichita State is the Shockers. We mentioned that from time to time.
Yeah.
And students will throw up the Shocker at basketball games, and they've actually gotten pretty good over the last few years.
Okay.
The moose knuckle.
I'm going to go next.
The ninja boots.
I'll go next to Darren. Hey, Darren, good morning.
I like turtles.
Yes.
What's up, Darren?
Hey, so Williamsport, Pennsylvania, we were the millionaires.
Yeah.
The millionaires.
Seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
And so what did your mascot look like?
So tuxedo, top hat, cane.
Wow.
The name came from back in the day, Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It was the logging capital of the country at one point. They used to knock the trees down, float them down the Susquehanna to the mills, and a bunch of the mill owners, I guess, built these mansions.
Okay, so that's where the millionaires comes from. After the bottom fell out on the industry, they became the destitutes.
Right.
Well, that's about the way the town is right now.
So. Okay, yeah.
All right, thanks, Darren. Yeah, so I guess it would be kind of like a Daddy Warbucks type of character.
The Chapter 11s.
The millionaires.
It's almost like a that's almost for like a glee club or something.
Yeah.
You also, I mean, at this point, you better all be pretty well off because if you know.
Yeah.
If
you show up in a 78 Datsun.
Yeah. I'll go next to Colleen. Hey, Colleen, we're talking about mascots. How you doing?
Hi, guys. All I did was get out of the shower.
Yes, of course. We all do.
All right, what's up?
My husband went to West Catholic High School, and his mascot was the Burrs.
As in?
Go ahead.
Like an Aaron Burr?
Like the burrs that stick to you, like
oh,
you walk in the grass and prick you on the
Raymond Burr. Okay.
Yeah, no, if you go walking through the woods, you come out with these little sticky things
burrs,
on
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Those things are called?
Yeah, those are called burrs.
Oh, man.
You
burrs.
Didn't know that?
Okay. Yeah, no, I had no
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, they're tough to get off. So the burrs, No.
The grass clippings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
The
ragweed.
Yeah, the ragweeds.
Yeah. I don't
the
like
pollens.
Let's go next to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, bud.
At work.
It's all right.
It's all right, man. What school are you referring here?
Southern Illinois University.
Okay.
I went there. I was there a couple semesters before I even knew what it was. It's a Saluki. It was an Egyptian fighting dog.
A Saluki.
I thought that was Balky's cousin.
No.
Yeah, I was at a party, and the guy who managed the mascot actually had two of them in his backyard.
Okay. An Egyptian fighting dog. You know, some of the great, I think, cool, iconic mascot material would come out of mythology, like the Minotaurs or, you know, stuff like that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right?
I like the Minotaurs. Yeah, in fact, you could take almost any character from, like, you know, Gods of War.
Yes.
And pull them out.
Absolutely.
And make them a great badass mascot of some sort.
You do want them to be a bat if you're a more competitive school. So we're looking at the Salukis, and it kind of looks like adorable little doggy.
I don't know, dude. Look at the teeth on that thing.
Yeah.
Looks pretty rabid.
Fierce. But he's got big fluffy ears, Preston.
I'm going to go next to Mike. Hi, Mike. Good morning. Mike.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy? All right. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Abington High, the Galloping Ghost.
Yeah, man.
And he said that their mascot looks like a Klansman.
It does. Really?
Does.
That's a problem.
Yeah, my grandfather's in the Galloping Ghosts Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
he's the head dragon.
Yes. He was the Grand Wizard of the Galloping Ghosts.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, but we're now just ghosts. Really? Ghosts with pointed hats like that?
We're looking at a picture.
Stretch.
It doesn't have a pointing hat. It's just a poorly drawn ghost. But it's a stereotypical, you know, the sheet with the eye holes and
it's
that
pretty
thing.
Terrible. So, the horse is drawn poorly as well.
I don't mind the idea of the Galloping Ghost. That's kind of an interesting name. Let me go to Bill H. Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Monkey pick ass.
Yeah.
Yes. Often.
What's up, buddy?
So I was watching Dirty Jobs and saw this thing called a geoduck. Well, Evergreen State College has a mascot called Speedy the Geoduck.
What is a geoduck?
I know what those things are, Steve. They come out of like a clamshell, but they're huge, and they look like a penis, don't they?
Oh, yes.
It looks like a clam with a giant penis.
Yeah. And that is their official, that's their mascot?
Geoducks?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
So you brought up a very good point earlier, Preston, about marketability of a mascot. Maybe the geoducks get you some leverage in merch because it's sort of kitschy.
I don't know.
Something that people will respond well to.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a college that began in 1967, so...
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it's not really based in long history.
But it's geoducks.
Right.
It's also in Olympia, Washington, I'm reading.
Yeah.
Where is that? Is that coastal at all?
I don't know. It's not that close to the shore. I guess they probably have a few geoducks sitting around.
I'll go next to Bryn. Hi, Bryn. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bryn. So what school is it that you want to tell us about?
Habro Horsham High School. We are the Hatters. It used to be the Mad Hatters.
Okay.
But they took that away because it was the Alice in Wonderland mercury poisoning thing.
Yeah.
So they had an issue?
What's that?
They had an issue with it being from Alice in Wonderland?
Mad Hatters had to do with the poisoning that you would get when they used to make hats back in the day.
Okay, yeah, all right.
They got all weirded out, but now we're just top hats with legs on the field. It's very strange.
Okay, yeah. So the Mad Hatters, they had mercury in the hats, and it would it was killing people basically,
driving them crazy,
and they would go crazy.
It's like
the
thalidomide.
Okay, the Hatters. All right, and what is the logo?
It's just a top hat.
Okay,
boring. Very boring.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
This is a cool one. The Arkansas School for the Deaf named themselves the Leopards. So they are the School for the Deaf Leopards. And the band, Deaf Leopard, came and met with the entire student body a few years ago.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
They all said, who are you again?
I like that.
Where's Jeff Leppard? What? Yeah. Who?
I'm going to go to, we got to take a break here in a second. I have John. Hey, John, morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, so what do you want to tell us?
I went to Immaculata University, and we were the Mighty Max, which was like a mighty nun.
She was a mighty nun? It was named after a nun?
Yeah, Kathy that's was the in name that movie.
That's why the movie was named Mighty Max.
Oh, no way.
That's the one you played a hooker.
No.
No, that was the nail.
What?
Flight attendant? What?
Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh.
Yeah, which one did you play?
He said hooker. No, I didn't play a hooker in any of them.
That was the nail.
I'm not a hooker!
Right. No. All right. Anyway, the Mighty Max. Okay. All right. Nice. Well, we've pulled a couple recently that were kind of interesting. We had the Bambies today for St. Hubert's, and that's the coolest teacher, which you're voting for. And then we had the Calculators, which was, what school was that?
It was an engineering school, was it not?
I don't remember.
I'm not a hooker!
Well, you can go back in time.
Yeah, I am looking at these. There was Hallahan. Hallahan was the...
Charter School of Wilmington, I think, was the...
was that it?
That's it.
Charter School of Wilmington.
That's it.
Calculators. Interesting. All right, well, thanks. I had no idea that some of these were indeed the official mascots of some schools, and it's kind of odd, but, you know...
There's a lot more latitude with these things than I thought there was.
So your cash flows low and you need some dough, and I'm like, fund you.
MMRs fund you too. Your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times a day.
Hey, fund you.
Hey, fund you too.
Weekdays, tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear the hour's winning keyword. We give you 15 minutes to enter it via the MMR app on your mobile device, the contest page at WMMR.com, or text it to the short code 45911. One random entry wins $1,000 in cash.
We wanna fund you.
MMRs fund you too. 5 chances to win a grand. Weekdays at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. All the details and contest rules at WMMR.com.
Brought to you by A&T Subaru. Subarus really do cost less in Sellersville.
And by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Earlier, when we were doing the entertainment roundup, I had mentioned it was Lil Kim's birthday today. And Lil Kim gave me an opportunity to grab Marissa's boob.
Yes.
This was several years ago. Maybe in the first year that we were here. And Marissa had dressed as Lil Kim for Halloween.
She had that wardrobe malfunction. Or was she had a malfunction. She had her boob hanging
out. Yeah, it was her boob was hanging out. Yeah. It was the outfit that she wore. So Marissa wore a like a stereotypical black and white striped prison suit, but with one boob hanging out. But instead of her actual boob, she had put, as Casey called it, a chicken cutlet.
Yeah.
Which is, what do you call those, Kathy?
They're kind of like fillers for
It was like gel.
Bra filler.
Yeah.
So anyway,
they are gel. That's exactly what
it was. It was flesh colored and it was on her boob. I think we have a picture in the hallway, of you. Yeah, there it is. And so I just went over and I was joking around and I grabbed it full on and I started shaking her boob. And it was at that point that I did it. I was like, that was wrong. I should not have done that. I just felt her up, even though I wasn't touching skin.
Well, it would have been.
I was still grabbing her boob and jiggling it.
It would have been the same if you just on her bra.
Yeah,
it's
exactly
the same thing.
I did something similar to Kathy. I was smoking a cigarette and my ashes went on her boobs, and I was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry."
I felt up your wife unknowingly. We were at a police benefit, and I thought it was her arm sticking down under her coat, and I went to
my
and
wife
was
grabbing
knocker?
Her knocker.
We were at a wedding once, and my friend's boyfriend thought that he was sitting next to my friend, and he wasn't. He was sitting next to somebody else, and he put his hand on her thigh and started rubbing up her thigh. Yeah.
As a joke.
And we were watching it. We watched it happening. And no, not as a joke. He thought his girlfriend was sitting next to him, but it wasn't.
His girlfriend.
Yes,
okay,
it was another woman who was sitting at our table.
And wait, so he didn't even know the lady?
It was another friend,
not thigh touching level.
And so, and he like he did it for a little while, and the girl had a great sense of humor, so she just sat there and waited, like she didn't do anything, so she waited for him to realize, and the entire table saw what was going on, and
I would have been livid.
He was mortified.
I would have died,
And it would have been even worse if he would have been doing that really flirtatious thing that some couples will do in public, reach under the table and actually go into the nether regions just as a playful little thing.
He moistens his index finger.
Can you? Oh my God!
Wow. Can't say that, but I had to go.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Are you sure? Because we figured out that Jovina is
it's okay.
It's oh, my okay. God. Bill had a vagina a dump that he had to do yesterday, but he goes, you can't say Jovina.
We were
why
like,
not?
Well, yes, we can.
No, you can't say in the Jovina.
In the Jovina.
That was it. Yeah. And so he Jovina was created in our meeting yesterday.
I came up behind somebody that I thought was my ex-wife one time and started giving her a massage. And just, I was not, you know, it was one of those things because I saw the back of the
do you
head.
Like having your back rubbed?
Oh, my God.
And, well, yeah, Steve, that's how creepy it was. But she had a similar haircut to Melissa, and I just start, and I wasn't looking directly at her, you know. And it was a group of people, and oh, so
Steve,
I just
like having your background.
I just was massaging her shoulders and then running my fingers up her neck.
One of the things that could have made it worse would have been for you to lean in and say, "I'm going to make you feel so good."
Who was the person, and what did they say to you?
She was a friend.
I'm
going to
give you a cat bath.
It was somebody that I didn't know.
It would have been funny as if that girl were actually talking to your wife at the same time.
Yeah.
And then here you are thinking you're massaging your wife, but you're looking at your wife going, wait a second.
What happens, though, is like with my wife, it's just a very comfortable, you reach and you over and you touch and the whole thing. And when you're out in a room, you know, where people are standing together, a club or whatever, and you're getting slightly disoriented, and it's your body position shifts, so you reach and you got the wrong person before you know it.
Yeah, there was an email Marissa found, and she sent it over to me, and this was from our blood drive last month, and this was sent to her by a guy named Brian. He said, hey, Marissa, I listen to you guys every morning. I have a funny story. You took a picture with my son and I at the blood drive just before it ending. And after the picture, my son's eyes got really wide, and he says, holy S, Dad, I grabbed her boob by mistake.
What?
And then he goes on to say, but I still grabbed her boob, and that was awesome. And so his dad says, can you break his balls a little? His name is Tim, and he just graduated from high school. Thank you, lawyer listener Brian.
Still give my wife crap because she slept with the defensive line of the New York Jets.
Okay.
Thinking it was me.
Oh, my goodness. Hang on. Let me go to some calls. Kristen, that I'm going to get on the line first. Hey, Kristen, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks. What's up, Kristen?
So we were standing at, like, an island, you know, in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We were all drinking around it. It was me, my boyfriend, and my cousin and her boyfriend, who is jacked, to say the least. But my cousin and I look very similar from behind, and sometimes flirtatiously, when my boyfriend's walking by, he'll jiggle my butt, and he jiggled hers instead, and her boyfriend was staring right at him. He was mortified.
Oh, no.
So he does, like a handful of ass, or does he just, like, tap it, or what?
Well, he'll, like, go from underneath and, like, kind of jiggle it up, just like, I don't know. But he did it to her instead, and she turned around. And her boyfriend was looking at him and looking at us. And, oh, it was so funny because we don't care, but her boyfriend didn't really know us all that well.
Right. He just molested his girlfriend right in front of him.
And did he, did he calm down, or was he a little bit disturbed?
Because I think my boyfriend was like, I thought it was Christine. They look the same.
Yeah.
He was trying to backtrack and make it. Make it seem more okay, but I mean, my cousin and I were dying. It was so funny.
Of course, I again though in that situation, like anytime in the situation with your wife, I'm like, oh my God, Preston, I'm like, I had no idea.
I'm so sorry.
You're perfect.
Let me go to Mark. Hey, Mark. Good morning.
What I get to do?
Very good, Mark.
Very nice. Guess what I get to do?
What's up, Mark?
So, back when I was still partying in my 20s, we used to go to Brownie's 23 East all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up elbowing some chick in the boob watching, you remember Burnt Sienna?
Yes. Yeah, sure, yeah. The band, yeah.
So we were watching them, and I ended up elbowing her boob, and I apologized. The rest of the night felt so bad. So I said, what can I do to make it up to you? She goes, well, use your imagination. So I did. We made out the rest of the night, ended up marrying her. We've been married for almost 10 years.
There you go. Now, an elbow to the boob.
I've
felt up Kathy that way 4,500 times.
Oh, every day.
Yeah, because we take our pictures where we stand in the same configuration. Sometimes it's going to be the deal.
Yeah.
If I knowingly reached over and went, then that would
be a different story.
That'd be a mistake.
That's different. Just an elbow boob is not such a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you full on accidentally swing around and bang them, then it's like,
Or if it's like you think it's your buddy or something and you're doing, hey, you know, that's a mistake.
Are you quite aware, are women aware when they've got their boobs on you? You know, like if everybody huddles up for a picture and, you know, or something like that?
No, not all the time. I mean, I think because it's just kind of like a body part. You know, it's not like a grab.
It's not like she hey, big boy. We're going to take another swing at this.
I'll realize it after. I'm like, oh, like when I step away, I'm like, oh, sorry, my boob was just resting on you.
I go to a barber shop now, but I miss going to the salon.
You used to go to this place where it was, I think she was a former Mrs. Pennsylvania.
Not just her, but almost all of them. They put their boobs all over you.
They do. Yeah.
They have to get in proximity to, you know, working with you.
Or when the guys put their junk all over you.
Well, that's
my God.
Just a bonus. But it was just one of those little.
Yep.
And as a teenager, when I would go, because my sister worked at a.
It was the best.
Yeah, at a salon.
Yeah.
And I would get other, you know, her coworkers to do
You'd
it
get
for
your
me.
Sister.
And it was fantastic.
You know what I'm thinking about right now?
No.
Nikki.
Oh, yeah. Massages.
Massage, yes.
Absolutely. No, Nikki.
Yeah. I just lost my train of thought. No. Oh, every now and again, if you're getting your hair did. And your hands are on the arms of the chair.
I've had
their nether regions will rub up against you. You know, like, oh my God, I can't move my hand.
And if you apologize, you can't apologize because your hand is you're legitimately holding on.
Yeah.
Now I haven't been to a barber or salon in a long time, but I know exactly what you're talking about. You're like, oh my God,
like, I can't move it. I just got to pretend like this is just the arm of the chair and not my hand.
Boy, your genitals are warm.
I'm going to go to speaking of Nikki. I have Nikki on the phone line. Hey, Nikki. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Nikki, what's up?
I just have a quick story for you. I was a waitress years ago, and I was serving someone, and I dropped a tartar sauce in his crotch, and I went to clean it off, and I started to rub it, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And he said, oh, yeah, you can. Go ahead.
Oh, no. What kind of tip did you get after that?
$2,000.
Yes.
It's all right. You'll get $5 if you lick it off.
Oh, my God.
Think of me as a huge fish stick. Now go to town, baby.
Damn. I'm going to go next to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay.
What's up, Mike?
So I was at my daughter's swim meet, and my wife was standing to the right of me, and we're talking, and turned to talk to somebody to my other side. I reached back over to grab my wife's ass. I kind of, like, cup it underneath, get a nice feel. And it was this guy's 15-year-old daughter.
Holy crap.
My wife moved out of the way, and this girl slid in. And as I'm grabbing, and I realize, I look up, and her dad's staring at me.
Oh, my God. What did you do?
I just looked at him, and he goes, you know what? I saw exactly what happened. Your wife moved. It's cool.
Thank God.
I'm so glad he saw it, because he just looked at me, and he just starts laughing.
You know there's no way were you to have done that and were she to have reacted.
Yeah.
There's no way you can beg your way out of, it's a 15-year-old.
No.
You're going to get throttled.
If he wouldn't have seen it, oh, I couldn't imagine how that would have went.
Wow.
Forget it.
Yeah, you dodged a bullet there, Mike. Casey, you said you're perfect a second ago, and I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
That's from back to school.
Yep.
How about this call? Goes right to that. I'm going to go to Jessica. Hey, Jessica, good morning.
Good morning. I'm hydrating my boobs. Oh.
Thank God for that. What's up, Jessica?
I thought that was appropriate this morning. Yeah. Well, I was in a short house with a bunch of girls, and we had just met my one friend's boyfriend. He wasn't staying at the house. We had just met him that day for the very first time. And for whatever reason, he thought he would join her in the shower, but she wasn't in the shower. I was in the shower.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I don't know what. He didn't say anything. He didn't call her name. He just came in, and all of a sudden, he was just in the shower with me. And I was like,
naked.
It's like the bodyguard. I don't want to talk about this again.
He had left to, like, go on a beer run or something, and he didn't know she wasn't in the house.
Man.
He thought she was in there. So, and all night, he just kept saying, I didn't see anything.
That's what he said?
That's what he just like.
He saw all of it, Jessica.
He
saw every bit of it.
You're perfect.
it was funny at the time, and it's funny now. But I still don't know why he came in there and didn't say anything.
Did either of you tell her about it when she got back?
Oh yeah, immediately. The whole house knew it. It was a big joke. All right.
Okay. Yes. Good. If you kept it a secret, that'd be an issue.
Now,
did
you see him?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
She saw everything.
I just
she saw everything
at first,
because at first I didn't remember even who he was. I just met him for the first time that day.
Yeah, I'm sure stories that, you know, when you have, like, summer houses with a whole bunch of people staying there.
Oh, yeah.
It can get dicey.
Let me go to Scott. You're on the air. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
So, when I was married, me and my wife, we went up to a cabin with a bunch of other couples, and as soon as we go, you know, drinking and whatever, climbing into bed and the big loft where everybody's sleeping, I jump into bed and rub what I thought was my left wife's leg. It wasn't. This dude, he's like, no.
It was a guy? Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How did you react? Oh, you're wearing your soft panties.
That's my pubic hair.
Like umbrellas or something. I thought it was, you know, whatever.
You must have wanted to die, Scott.
Those aren't pillows?
Yeah, those aren't pillows.
Yeah, it was an awkward morning.
Yeah, I can imagine. Thanks, Scott. Oh, man.
Listen, I'm going to go out for a walk. You want to come?
I will go next to Dan. Hey, Dan. Good morning, sir.
Hey, you guys rock.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it, man. What's up?
So one time we got done church, and we were in the main lobby area. I was probably about 10 years old, and there was a guy faced the other way. He was wearing the exact same clothes as my dad. So I went up to him, took both my hands, and smacked him in the butt using both my hands, and I kind of jiggled his butt cheeks a little bit, and he turned around. Looks at me, and it was a totally different guy, and I froze like a deer.
As a kid, you wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
You would have no idea what
What's
to
your
do.
Name, little fella?
So, dear God, you picked the wrong guy.
This is your lucky day.
Oh, my God. Oh, thank you, Dan.
You know that, though, Preston, you're out in a room with a lot of people. As I said before, you're at a club, you're at an event, you're socializing, you're moving about, and it's caught you stick your hand out. You know, I've had near misses where my wife had been next to me, and I sense what I believe to be her next to me, and I go to put my arm around her waist, and I'm like, you know, and you catch it last second.
And not just actually touching someone. Have you ever said, like, the wrong thing to someone just out of habit?
I called a guy honey the other day.
Yeah, thinking that you're talking to your wife,
I was
right?
on the phone.
I've done it.
Thanks, honey.
I've done baby.
What?
Thanks, baby.
What did I just say?
I did that to my mom one time. All right, thanks, baby. I'll touch you later.
What? Because you get into a rhythm that is familiar to you.
Uh-huh. And maybe you're a little turned on.
Yeah.
Well, that was my friend.
I can't wait to massage your balls. See you later. Yeah.
Well, my friend was leaving. He went to this pizza place, you know, a million times. And he was leaving the one time, and he said goodbye to the guy, and the guy says, I love you too, right? And he got out, and he goes, he gets out of the store, he goes, that guy thinks I said I love you. I can't ever go back there.
Let me go to Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on the air. Good morning, man.
Bob! What's going on, guys?
Yep. What's up, buddy?
So, I was in Ohio, my cousin's wedding, and drove out with my cousin from out here in PA, and we had to just get a hotel. Well, I guess we fell asleep that night, and we were sharing a bed, and he woke up the next day, and he wouldn't talk to me.
My butt hurts.
I said to him, Jeff, what's going on, man? I said, were you mad at me about something? He said, dude, listen, I'm not mad. I don't want to talk about it, but last night, you must have thought I was Kat, your ex-girlfriend or something, and you started
grabbing your chest.
Grabbing your boob,
grabbing my chest.
Yeah.
And then he said, I moved your hand off. And then an hour later, you were rubbing my stomach and touching my belly button.
Oh! He's playing with your belly button.
Dude.
I said, I'm so sorry. He goes, no, I get it. You're not used to sleeping with a guy, but, you know, this can't happen again, and I don't want to talk about it. And of course, I told my whole family.
Of course.
Embarrassed about it.
Oh, Bob,
he's 100 pounds on me, so I'm just happy he didn't kill me.
Hey, yeah, it's cool that he didn't. Yeah, that he didn't just turn around and punch you in the face. That he realized you were out for the count.
Yeah, I don't remember any of this.
That is so funny.
It's hilarious.
I love it. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Let me go over to, let's see. I have Lou, who is on the line. Hey, Lou, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, Lou. Talking about accidentally feeling somebody up. What'd you do?
Well, I was away from college for about 9 weeks. And when I came back, my house, nobody was home. And when I came to my living room, my dining room, I saw what I thought was my sister bend over in a... going through clothes in the basket. Mm-hmm. So I put my bag down, went up, and as hard as I could, smacked her on the buttocks.
Ow.
My hand was red. I went, "What's up?" And I said her name. I went, "How you doing? I'm back." So I go into the kitchen to get something to eat, and I turn around, and here's this woman that I never saw before in my life going, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm your sister's friend."
Oh, no.
"Hi, I'm Lou, and I'm leaving." And I just walked out the front door. And
"I'm Lou, and I'm leaving."
You just conducted an assault.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I my hand was red.
Oh, man. That sucks, man. That sucks. Thanks, buddy. I will go next to Jill. Hi, Jill. You're on. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Jill. We appreciate it. What's your story?
Okay, so... Sam, we always go out to lunch on a Sunday, and we're at this restaurant. There's a salad bar, so I'm going to the salad bar. This guy puts both arms around me, and he's like, "Hey, honey, I'll meet you back at the table." And I look up, and the look on his face was priceless. It looked like I just told him, like, something horrible happened, and
right.
He would not make eye contact with me the rest of the time. Because I'm with my family, and I'm, like, I don't know, 15.
This,
oh my gosh.
So he stayed in the restaurant. I would have left.
Yeah.
I would have ran out.
He was redder than red. Wouldn't even look at me.
I guess,
look at my family. He's like, "Oh my God, what did I just do to your teenage daughter?"
Steve, I would have dined and dashed. I would have been gone.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah. No, forget you had it. To never and left the state. I would have quit my job. Preston, you had, it's not the same thing exactly, but what was it, you that had the Wawa encounter with somebody you thought you recognized?
No, that was...
Was it you?
Well, I knew the guy, and I picked him up, and I was like,
"That's
oh!
it!"
Oh!
I did the same thing.
But the problem was he had just hurt his back the day before. You had a similar story, but you didn't know the guy.
No, I didn't know the guy. It was a 7-Eleven. I thought it was my buddy Tom. And I walked in behind him, and I got him in a bear hug, and I lifted him up off the ground.
Lifted him up off the ground.
I could have sworn it was him.
I thought that was him.
Terrible.
That's one of the best stories. This dude is like, "Oh, my God, I'm being raped."
And the dude was pissed.
Yeah.
It was not even a, like, "Oh, I get it. Don't worry about it, man." It was like, "Get the F away from me." And I was like, whoa. I left. I got the hell out of there immediately.
You quit your job and moved.
We got to try that. We just send somebody up to a convenience store and just pick up a random
person.
Sure.
The cops won't be called.
That's why I'm like, if you watch Impractical Jokers, they do stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
And how they don't get throttled. I know on occasion, some people will get pissed off, but I don't know how they don't get throttled regularly. I'll go to, I lost your name here on the screen. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hello?
Yeah, that's you, buddy.
How you doing? It's Dennis. How you doing?
Dennis. Good, Dennis. What's up, Privilege? Tell us your story, please.
I got a funny... Let's see. It was me, my girlfriend, and my sister. We're all standing there. I'm on the phone talking to somebody. My girl was right next to me, bent over. I'm fine on her ass. For some odd reason, I stopped for a second, then I started again. Look down. It's my sister. She's looking up, looking at my girlfriend. I'm good 3 minutes fondling on her ass.
Oh, my God.
You were fondling your sister's ass.
Let you fondle her butt for 3 minutes?
They didn't say nothing to me. They're looking and laughing at each other until my girlfriend said, "Yo, what are you doing?" I looked down, and I was like, "Oh, I got so red, I almost threw up."
Well, I would have thrown up, but that's like, thanks. Kathy, your friend was cool enough to play along and set the trap because you're just loving the fact that you know that when the reveal comes, the guy's going to die.
Yep.
Oh my God, that's like in Game of Thrones, Nick, where Theon is on the horse with what he doesn't know is his sister.
Yeah.
Oh my God, and she lets him do it.
Yeah, and she's into it.
To make him feel horrible.
Full sex? Is it full sex?
No, it was getting there.
Okay.
Wow. All right, one more call, Case.
Yeah.
All right, let me go to Susan. Hi, Susan. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Susan?
I'm a hair stylist
in Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware, and sometimes I drop the combs, you know, while I'm in the middle of a haircut, and a few times it's happened, but one time in particular, I dropped the comb, and it slid down this gentleman's cape, and instinctually, I just went to grab it, and I grabbed his package.
Oh, no.
He was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. I beat red. I had to turn him away from the mirror. I was embarrassed.
And it's at that point they started happy endings.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But right? Susan, I got a good tip.
Susan, conversely, I mean, do you get accidentally felt up all the time?
Just by the drunk people that come next door from the bar next door.
Well, but Susan, Casey was talking about something that happens a lot. So you're sitting in the chair, right? If you're sitting in the chair and you have your hands on the armrests.
Yes.
As you're moving around, you'll end up, sometimes you'll get a crotch touch, and so, and that's embarrassing, but do you
even feel that?
Yeah.
Sometimes, but sometimes they'll move their hand immediately if that happens. I try to position the chair so that it's not in my crotch area. Or if they're really good looking, I'll position it just
right. You'll straddle the chair.
Thank you. Casey likes to sit there with both his fingers up and both his middle fingers up as he's getting his hair done. All right, one more story. Casey wants me to go to this one because we can't not put Bert on the air. Hey, Bert, good morning.
Hey, guys, God sucks. How are you?
That's right. Somebody thought Gadzooks. Why are you guys saying God sucks?
Why do you say God sucks?
Yeah, what's up,
Gadzooks,
buddy?
I unfortunately felt up my 90-year-old aunt from England.
You have our attention.
Crab.
Okay.
Okay. She was over visiting, very, very prim, proper English lady, and she was leaving, and I went to say goodbye, and I didn't know whether to go for the handshake or for the hug, and I thought we were going handshake. She went hug, and my hand was up, and I got a very, very solid grasp of a 90-year-old bosom.
Oh, my goodness.
And how big?
And this lady, this poor, nice lady, turned the brightest shade of crimson. not proud. So not proud. But I had a great segment. Love the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate
you
it.
You just gave me a knocker twister.
Yeah, Casey.
Is that how you do it in the States?
This would be the sound you make.
Yeah.
For the 90-year-old. Instead of a
go around back and ride the rumble seat.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, it does happen. So don't feel alone in your embarrassment because it's quite common for things like that to happen.
I only wish we could get security camera footage of you lifting that guy in the 7-Eleven.
Oh, man. Oh, not one of my proudest moments.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
So we'll start with the Florida one. She's behind bars after deputy said she threatened an employee and danced naked outside a Pensacola Waffle House. An employee...
Waffles do that to me, too.
An employee told Freedom Rider Zobrist to leave the restaurant Monday because she had been causing trouble.
Can I'm a waffle queen.
Zobrist fled but returned later saying that she wanted to get a gun and then shoot the employee and everyone inside.
She was upset, Preston, because she couldn't get butter into each little square.
Oh, is that what it was? We know people who have issues with that. The employee told deputies that Zobrist then took off her pants,
danced naked in the restaurant parking lot, and tried to grab his genitals.
This is my vagina. Enjoy your breakfast.
The employee said that Zobrist also licked his face.
Wow.
And poked his chest.
All right.
She was arrested on charges of indecent exposure, simple assault, battery, and disturbing the peace.
And she missed the PTA meeting.
In India, a man was killed by lions after scaling a 20-foot barrier at a zoo and then jumping inside the lion enclosure. I don't know. People do this from time to time, man.
Well, you can't blame the zoo. There was a 20-foot enclosure.
Yeah, the incident happened at the Kitbir Zoo. Authorities saw the man climbing the barrier and tried to talk him into coming down, but he jumped inside the enclosure. One of the lions saw the man falling in and immediately attacked him, just like went after him right away.
This is going to be good.
Another lion.
This is going to be good.
Another lion joined in the attack. Rescue teams were not able to get to the man until the lions left him alone. Of course, he died from his injuries. The lions involved in the attack are Asiatic lions. They are critically endangered, and only about 500 of them exist in the wild.
They said he looked as if he had been mauled by lions.
Yeah. Hey, a kid named Ace Davis is a fifth grader in Lexington, Kentucky, and he recently won his school's science fair.
Wow.
What he did is tackle a controversial subject, which is Tom Brady a cheater?
Did you see his presentation? Yeah. His presentation was awesome.
He won the entire science fair. It was on a trifold poster board.
And what did he conclude?
He had ironclad evidence that Tom Brady is indeed a cheater. Then his dad, Christopher, went on Facebook with the caption, hater level 100. And it caught the attention of a Bills fan who interviewed Ace to get some insight into his scientific process. Turns out Ace, who plays QB himself, really doesn't like Brady, and he's not shy about it. He said, because I hate Tom Brady, he's been accused of cheating before, and I want him to be caught. Ace doesn't stop at Brady, accusing Julian Edelman of taking steroids and Rob Gronkowski of pushing people around. He wrote in his conclusion, the Patriots were found guilty of doctoring footballs, thus losing $1 million in future draft picks. Tom Brady is indeed a cheater. But what does the little guy think is going to happen on Super Bowl Sunday? He said, Julian Edelman pushes everyone around. Gronkowski gets shut down. Gurley runs for 2 touchdowns. Brady plays terrible. 3 interceptions. Rams win 30-14.
Damn.
And as far as the state science fair, where Ace has progressed after winning his elementary school, he said, I'm going to win that, too.
All right, so where is he from? Did you say?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, it's not that he's... He's not like
a Jets fan.
Right,
or, okay.
Right.
Just has issues.
Yep. An American missionary has been accused of exposing an isolated indigenous tribe in Brazil to potentially fatal diseases. A guy named Steve Campbell.
This is a wild story.
A missionary linked to a Baptist church in Maine is being investigated by officials from FUNAI, the Brazilian government's indigenous affairs department, amid reports that he could be tried for genocide.
Oh, the my charge God. Is genocide because yeah. he's introduced disease into this Jeez. Remote tribe that just does not have exposure to the outside world.
Yeah, and I guess this tribe is considered its own race of sorts and therefore genocide.
And that's Ooh. Been the issue. You can't, you know, they don't, it's illegal to go near them.
They want to be left alone.
Yeah.
He allegedly entered an area occupied by the Hai Marima tribe last month while carrying out a missionary work with natives from a neighboring tribe. The latest comes just 2 months after another story. Remember this guy, John Chu,
yeah.
Chow, who was killed on North Sentinel Island where native people have lived for 30,000 years. The Hai Marima is one of a few dozen isolated communities in Brazil that have had almost no contact with the outside world. Natives there have previously rejected attempts at contact. It's unclear what penalties Campbell may face, with federal prosecutors or police officials yet to be notified of his actions.
These tribes just want to be left alone to work on their space programs.
In letters to his family members, he asked loved ones not to blame the natives if I am killed. This
we
was,
won't.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is John Chow, the guy who was killed. So... Responding to reports of Campbell's arrest, Stephen Corey, the director of Survival International, said fundamentalist Christian Americans must be stopped from this primitive urge to contact previously uncontacted tribes. He said it may lead to the martyrdom they seek, but always ends up killing tribes people. So they're serious about it.
Did you ever see Green Inferno?
I did not. No.
There's every reason why you don't want to go.
Yeah, right?
You know, Press, just watch the first, what, half hour?
First half hour.
Yeah, it looks pretty nasty.
Yeah.
All right, and then we'll do this last story. The Browns, NFL football team, Cleveland Browns. Their marketing executives wanted employees to see how fans were engaging with the Browns on social media. So they projected the Browns feed onto a giant wall at their facility. So it was like broadcasting talk radio over the entire building. In particular, it was worse than that. So one of the marketing staffers entered in a search for the hashtag DP for dog pound.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Kathy, do you have any idea what DP stands for in the world of pornography?
Double.
Right.
Double penetration.
Yeah. Got it.
Is what it stands for. The problem was the hashtag carried a few different meanings, of course, which triggered an array of porn to be broadcast onto the wall for the entire office to see than 20 minutes. So, yeah, the tech employee eventually killed the feed. And they got it off of there, but
they were DP. They replaced it with Ass Master.
So you heard that correctly. The Browns accidentally streamed porn inside their facility by projecting Twitter search results for DP onto a wall.
Oh, man.
For the entire office to see so that they could get an idea of what Dog Pound fans thought about the team. So
I guess that's what they think about the team.
Maybe that's what they think about the team. I don't know.
It's like in Hollywood movies when they talk about the director of photography. They always refer to it as the DP. And I'm like, oh, boy, my brain messed this up.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists. You got some change inside your
pocket, but it doesn't change. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Playboy founder Hugh Hefner's trademark black silk pajamas and red smoking jacket are going up for auction. Whoever purchases Hefner's leisure wear will, by default, also receive approximately one quart of dried piss and 2 miles of skid marks.
Oh, my God.
2 miles.
2 miles. That's a lot. Hey, warm for a long time. Kylie Jenner's being sued by Cherie Cosmetics for allegedly stealing their Born to Sparkle makeup line and selling their own Born to Sparkle line. Kylie denies the accusation, noting that, quote, it's all useless crap anyway. And finally, 95-year-old game show legend Bob Barker was taken to an L.A. hospital yesterday with an extreme back pain. Barker was reportedly injured during sex while attempting to perform an Alabama Hot Pocket.
Wow.
You were trash.
That dude is still vibrant, man.
Oh, he's banging away.
There you go. Our next guest is going to be displaying his art, and we're excited to have him here because very, very soon he will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've waited a long time to meet this gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, from Def Leppard, Mr. Rick Allen.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Was here this morning.
Very nice introduction.
Thank you, sir. I have been waiting to meet you for a long time, a couple of reasons, and I'll stop fanboying all over you. But number one, I'm a drummer. Have been since I was a kid.
I knew that.
And number two, you knew that?
Yeah.
You could tell you got the vibe.
Yeah.
Number two, I believe the Pyromania Tour was the second rock concert I ever saw. So you go way back to my very beginning days of experiencing live rock music, and I vividly recall that show.
Now you're scarred for life.
Nah, I'll forever remember it. It was in St. Louis. It was the Pyromania Tour, and man, I was just blown away by the performance. It was excellent, and it just ushered me into wanting to go to more concerts and experience that whole live thing.
I play better now.
You do play better now?
I think so.
And I've seen you in the years since. I'd seen Def Leppard after your accident and losing a limb, which for a drummer that's a little bit of an issue. But
it
also
at least ruins your day, right?
It was a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
But I remember being intrigued, hearing that you were coming back, and I understood using trigger pedals how that could be done. Essentially, your left foot becomes your snare drum, and I was why I was bummed out, other than the significant pain and issues you went through of losing your left arm, was that you were one of the few rock guys that used a traditional grip.
That's true. Not anymore.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. But, I mean, it was like you and Stuart Copeland and Carl Palmer, and that was pretty much it, you know?
No, it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you started young playing the drums, and then was it your mother who helped you place an ad respond to an ad from Def Leppard at that time? You were 14, 15?
No, I was playing with the local bands from about the age of 10.
10?
And then at the ripe old age of 14, I was going to quit the business. And
you'd had enough.
I'd had enough. And I remember coming home one day and saying, "Mom, you know, I don't want to do this anymore." And she found this article in the newspaper, in the local newspaper, and it said, "Leopard loses skins." And we called. And a couple of days later, I met with Joe and Steve at a local club. And I went for an audition and got the gig. It was really
14.
Funny. Yeah, at 14. And then I joined Def Leppard round about my 15th birthday.
Oh, my God.
What was that like? And I'm sure you guys were playing bars, clubs, and things like that at that time. Now, in the UK, is that much of an issue, having a 15-year-old in a bar and a band? Because here they'd have a problem with it.
It wasn't so much of a problem. Okay. But I had to sort of stay out of the way, you know.
Yeah.
Get other people to buy beer for me.
There you go. I was 18. Yes. I was playing clubs when I was 18, and it was awesome.
Oh, it was great. It was really funny when we had to share a dressing room with the stripper on a Sunday.
Oh, my God. How old were the other guys when you were 15? What were they?
They're probably 8 to 10 years older than me.
Okay. Yeah.
So you were really good. I mean, the fact that you could, you know, hold your own with, you know, there's a growth spurt that's taking place, and you're still at the beginning of that, and you're competent enough to land this gig, and then you're off and running. But, you know, Preston's always talked about your technique, and yeah, obviously you've talked about the accident and everything, but one of the best Behind the Musics, which used to be a great series on VH1, you know, I was a Def Leppard fan before, but it appeared to me that the band's commitment to you and vice versa was, that to me is such, that's the story to tell, is that you don't leave your friends, you know, you stick with it. And the fact that they did and you've produced, you know, 10 times what anyone could hope is the story. It still has to amaze you now as you look back at how it could have gone.
It's really nice of you to say. It was really family support from the guys in the band, and just people reaching out from all over the world.
Yeah.
Like, I got letters from so many places, like encouragement. And really, I discovered the power of the human spirit. And once you know, I got that, there was no stopping me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
I just wanted to succeed.
I want to ask about your art. You know, from time to time, you'll see musicians who later on in life start to embrace that part of their creative side that maybe has always been there, but then they finally find themselves with either more time or more resources or more of an audience to share that with. How long has your artistic side outside of music been in your life?
Really from when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And then really I discovered music and didn't really, I was into photography. But didn't do much painting until I started painting with my youngest daughter and just saw where she went when she painted. And it was sort of without rules.
The sort of zen that you get when you're painting, yeah.
That sort of open-eyed meditation where you just disappear into a zone.
It appeals to a lot of people. And you know, I like to sketch. You know, you're right. It's just you kind of channeling stuff out. But your art has some unique aspects to it that involves some technology as well, correct?
It depends what kind of technology. No, I mean, I try everything. I learn new techniques. The ones that I'm really proud of are the Legends series.
Right.
I started out with Steve Clark,
I figure that was a great subject because he really inspired me and he was my best friend. And and then I moved on to doing John Lennon and then Hendrix.
Right.
And my latest one, the David Bowie, is really cool. So,
do you have anybody teaching you along the way? I mean, do you have like a mentor?
I have mentors, people that help me discover new ways to paint.
But also to understand things like shadows and how they work and
That's exactly what I do. Normally, I'll dumb down a photograph that I really like, and then I'll sketch the geometric shapes to create the highlights.
Because I'm looking at your work and it's really good. Yeah, I'm looking at this painting of John Lennon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is really good. And this one that we have in the studio here up in the main thing, the American flag with the heart in the middle, with the handprint is just beautiful.
Whose handprint is that?
It's mine, actually.
Oh.
Is it? Yeah. It is.
But like, I couldn't help but think, like, there's no way anybody could do this without having a teacher along the way, a mentor along the way. Like, nobody has that that perfect understanding of especially when it comes to paint. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. I love using acrylics. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I use acrylics is because if I get it wrong, I can paint over it.
It's very forgiving. It's very forgiving.
It is.
Yeah. So for me, sketching is easy. I can just erase it's a pencil, so on and so forth. When you're committing, you know, to me, it seems like you're doing something, a large piece of work, and what gives you zen can also be ultimately frustrating, I assume, at the same point where it's not coming out the way you want it.
No, that's true. What I tend to do is take a lot of photographs of, especially if it's a big piece.
Yeah.
So I can change the perspective and then kind of see what I'm missing. What is it I'm missing?
Right.
And then living with it for a few days before I go back to it.
My girlfriend's an artist, and I am not, and so I appreciate her ability to do what she does. What she often struggles with, and I'm curious as to what you may or may not struggle with, but knowing when her piece is finished, because you can look at it, and you're in it, and you're so, it's become such a part of your life for a stretch, to know when to walk away. I think that analogy also applies to music. When you look at a song that's being produced, and you don't want to overproduce it, do you feel that that's the same with one of your pieces of art?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that way. You know, in music, you say, well, it's overcooked. You know, you
overproduced.
You
overdid
it. You know, it sounds too slick or whatever. The good thing about the technique, especially doing faces, is it's not realism. So all you have to do is just follow the geometric shapes. And as long as I get that right, then there is an end point, you know.
Do you know when you've reached that end point?
Yeah, I mean, I you could always go on, but then, you know, how much time do I really have? Unfortunately, I have a day job.
Which draws some of your energy.
It does. Yes. It gets in the way of everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I think there's always a kernel. For example, you were born with an ability to see things artistic. Like people say, can you learn to be a stand-up comedian or... You can, but to be a good one or to be good at anything, there has to be, I think, a little bit of the kernel of it in you.
Yeah, I think so.
And so what would have made you probably, a solid photographer or anything or a musician, it's that same commitment to that goes through it all.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Any plans to visit photography again?
I'm taking photographs all the time.
Okay.
You know, when I'm out on the road with the band or... You know, if I can't paint when I'm on the road, at least I'm trying to plan out what I'm going to be doing when I get home.
Okay.
You know, so I can get busy, you know, with the artwork. So,
I want to ask about your time with the band and how funny is it seeing now ripped jeans coming back as a fashion statement when Joe Elliott perfected the art of it. Back in the days of Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Does that mean officially old when these styles start to come back around that you helped create?
Isn't it great?
Oh, man.
That is cool.
Funny story. I went on stage one night, and the guys, they're always, like, making fun of me, whatever. You know. But I get them back.
Yeah.
So I got off stage, and my jeans are hanging up. And they cut one leg.
Come on.
Jeans.
Yeah. You must have the largest collection of one arm.
What were you going to say then?
The largest genitals. No, the largest. you've heard every sort of joke you could get, right? I'm sure, you know.
There's one and two.
Yeah, one and two.
Yeah, I forgot what. How long after your accident was it okay for the guys to start? Because listen, part of being in a band, part of being in a group, any small group like ourselves, yeah, like the show, is having fun with each other and being able to joke and give each other a hard time. How soon after that accident were they starting to have fun?
Pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wishful thinking, but, you know, yeah, jokes like one arm and three legs. And
right. That's a brotherhood thing, so, you know.
Well, we have actually, there's a friend of the show who's a model, and has done runway work in Manhattan, and she has, I don't know, Nick, is it a full arm or is it a partial arm?
I don't
arm?
Know who you're talking
Becca?
About.
Yeah. I think it's her whole arm.
And so she does have an apparatus that is now... With a phone app and stuff.
It's like a robotic arm.
Has any of that been brought to you? Does any of that interest you?
I tried a prosthetic arm, but I lost so much of my
shoulder,
of my arm.
Yeah.
And when it got infected, they had to make sure that all the infection was gone.
Okay.
So, you know, there's not that much there anymore.
All right.
But I'm really streamlined.
Yeah, you're streamlined.
You are streamlined.
Yeah, there you go.
I do remember shortly after, and you made your return to the stage, that I remember seeing pictures because I used to get the rock magazines and all that stuff. And there would be people, there were amputees that would just line up, just could not wait to meet you. And you kind of became, I mean, hero might be too strong of a word, or a spokesperson for people who have had that similar situations like that. Were you a little... overwhelmed by that at first, or
no? I could identify with people, and I think it was really cool because people felt like they knew me and they could trust me.
Yeah, you had a commonality.
Yeah, and I took that a stage further. I do a lot of work with our wounded warriors, and actually a portion of the proceeds from the artwork always goes to our warriors.
The Raven Foundation?
Yeah, Raven Drum Foundation.
Right, right. And then you also have the One Hand Drum Company. What is that, unless I'm misreading?
One Hand Drum Company?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was listed in your credits. I'm like, they had no explanation. I'm like, what is that?
No, it's actually the Raven Drum Foundation.
And so then, it's part of the same thing.
And then under the umbrella is sort of... Project Resiliency.
Okay.
And that was my way of really focusing on, what I thought was a huge problem. Our warriors coming back with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, you name it. So that was a way for me to really focus on them.
That's excellent. And so portions of the sales, these sales will go to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Let's talk a little bit about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You guys won the popular vote. You won the people's vote, which I think is very apropos. People of your bands, of your genre, on the kind of, rock, metal, whatever you want to place it in, I think have a significant place in the world of rock music. And it seemed like Rolling Stone and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame kind of glances over that type of music. They put it out to the people who listen, who buy, who go to concerts, so forth, and they said, no, these guys deserve to be in. What do you think about all of that?
I agree with you. I think we may have been left out a little bit. I think the thing that made all of us really happy, the whole of Def Leppard, was the fact that they introduced the fan vote. And we got so many votes.
Yeah.
And that to us was the most important thing. It wasn't necessarily, a bunch of guys sitting around at a boardroom table deciding who's in, who's out. It was really about the fan vote. We thought that was really important.
I mean, it sort of parallels your career in general, in the fact that, like, you're appealing to a certain people, and those are your fans. And then on the other side, you have these critics who... You're not doing it for them, If you like it, you like it, and if you don't, you don't. And if you don't like it, I'm not
I'm not making this for you. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. I mean, define critic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if there are fans out there of any music, it doesn't matter, you know, what anybody's perception of that music is. If there are fans out there, then there are people that like the music.
Yeah.
You know?
How important, so yeah, as the legend goes, the producer, Mutt Lange, was, you know, key and critical to you. Is that been overblown or was...
No, not overblown at all.
Yeah.
He really inspired me. An amazing musician, incredible, you know, songwriter, arranger.
How much does a producer like that, I mean, that can be the flashpoint, correct, of everything?
Yeah, I think he was really pivotal. I think he really developed our sound to the point where, you know, I think it's why we're here today.
Yeah, yeah, it's very cool. The movie Hysteria, which is a docudrama, I guess. What did you think of that? Did you like it?
The script. We actually went over the script before it actually got filmed, and we all approved it. I think the only thing that may have been a little different were some of the characters.
Okay.
Like, Mutt wasn't that, you know, sort of kind of character that was
depicted in the movie. It was for people who don't know, it was actually they enacted basically the Def Leppard story and focused a bit on the accident and everything. And but I was just wondering. So you say a lot of times they have to condense and take character traits of multiple people to make the story, but you're overall.
Yeah, they dramatized it a little bit, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I thought the most important thing was the actual script was pretty true to form.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to ask about the new guy in the band, Vivian Campbell. He's been in the band since 92. But I remember a few years ago, there was a report that he had cancer. I haven't heard much about that.
He's doing great.
Is he doing great?
He ended up going for immunotherapy.
Okay.
And he's doing really well.
What a guitar player.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Just amazing. You guys have the ceremonies for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I assume, and I haven't read the latest on who's going to be there, accepting, performing, all this stuff, plans to be there and to perform and do the whole thing?
I hope everybody shows up.
Okay. Thank you. Right, I can't stand when the artists blow that. I mean, I'm a big Dire Straits fan, and they blew it off. I'm like, no!
Yeah. No, you can't. You
can't,
you
know, do that.
It's just getting a nod from your peers and everybody, you know. I mean, we've been working really hard at this, and it's, let's have a party, you know.
I like that attitude.
I want to ask a question. What is your favorite song that you guys have created?
I think the one song that just puts me in the right frame of mind and gives me just a feeling of well-being is the song Hysteria.
Oh, okay. No kidding. Yeah. Love that song.
Yeah. Okay. So off of that album, I just want to tell you, is the summer of 1987. I'm at my pool. I belong to a swim club. Guy lives across the street.
He's not posting, by the way.
No. I'm listening.
Guy lives across the street from the swim club, and he had been doing off the high dive at 2.5 for weeks. He pumps himself up, and I kid you not, he comes into the swim club with a boombox on his shoulder, pour some sugar on me is on, right? And this is just a vivid memory that I have in my mind, right? And so it's the summer 87, boom, you know, and he's pumping himself up, walks in through the entrance down, puts the boombox down on the bench, takes his shirt off, gets up onto the high dive, and doesn't even wait 1 second, goes off the high dive. One flip, two flips, 2.5 flips. Flat on his back.
Ouch.
It was so loud, and it hurt so bad. And then he laid there in the diving well like, oh. And then he got out of the pool, dried himself off, grabbed his boombox, and left.
Ouch. Hey, he tried.
Yes, he did.
And he's listening to the right music. You know? Right.
Want to hear my Def Leppard memory? Yeah. Probably in, I don't know, it was probably in eighth grade. I know we got to wrap up, but... The most bold fashion statement I've ever made in my life.
Oh.
I walked into school that morning wearing my sleeveless Union Jack t-shirt that I got before anybody had their hands on. I'd taken a family trip to San Francisco, and there it was in a shop. And I'm like, oh, my God. And, you know, Photograph had just come out, and Joe wore that shirt, and it was so iconic. And I wore... people, heads were just snapping around and looking.
Fantastic.
Where did you get that?
It was amazing, Rick.
You had your own theme song at that point.
I did. Listen, we know you guys have to go. I'm going to remind people of the details of Rick Allen, Legends and Dreams.
The stuff is amazing, by the way.
Cool. It's thank you. Wonderful artwork, and it's multimedia. You do some stuff on drums as well, and there's all kinds of great stuff. Rick, a pleasure to meet you. Congratulations on all the success, and thank you for being here this morning.
Fantastic. What does it mean at the beginning of Gunter Gleben Glauben?
Gunter Gleben Glauben Globen?
We don't know.
Let's hear it for Rick Allen, everybody. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.